Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Red Pill 78. As always, my name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector, and this is another edition of Red Pill News for Friday Night Live Stream. Joining me in the studio tonight, once again, my good friend Nate Kane. He is the Uranium One whistleblower, and he's also a candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives in West Virginia's 2nd District. His primary is coming up in a couple of weeks, and we're going to continue our conversation from a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, America is facing even more challenges than it was then, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Nate's agenda once he does get into Congress, and we're going to see what he thinks about the current slate of Republicans in Congress. How is he going to work with them, or better yet, how is he going to upstage them? Well, do me a favor. Hit that like button. Help us out by sharing the show. And thank you very much for being here. Sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn. We're going to be right back after this. So, just like groceries and gas, your energy bills are expected to keep hitting record highs in the coming months. And despite the fact that most Americans are behind on their utility bills, costs continue to rise by as much as 60% compared to previous years. It's gotten to a point where it's so bad there are some power companies that have a shocking $13 million in uncollected bills because the average person simply cannot afford the price of today's electricity. And the costs show no signs of slowing down. This is why tens of thousands of people are starting to use this magical little device to help slash their power bills and beat the greedy utility companies. The device is a compact, energy-saving device that helps reduce energy bills and optimizes a home's power usage. It's designed to stop your home from wasting unnecessary energy, reduce your home's electricity usage, extend the lifespan of appliances, ensure a consistent and safe flow of electricity to your home, and so much more. Simply plug it into the wall outlet and the cost savings begin. The first month alone is going to pay for the device itself. You can experience this incredible cost savings device at an exclusive 65% off by going to don'twastepower.com. Plus, you're going to get a risk-free, full 60-day trial through their safe and secure website. Don't miss out on this incredible offer to save 65% off and get free shipping today at don'twastepower.com. Once again, that's don'twastepower.com, and when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. And please join me in welcoming my returning guest and good friend, Mr. Nathan Kane. Nate, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. It's good to be back on your show. And awesome. I always enjoy our opportunities to talk. And I love these long form interviews. They're fun.
Absolutely. I love it, too. And I always love it when we get the chance to answer questions in the second half of the show from the audience. People always have a lot of great questions for you. Obviously, you have a very interesting and unique background. And we were talking about this a little bit today. When I was making the thumbnail, I initially had said, you know, like the I think I said like the America First candidate. And you were like, well, you know, change it to say the proven. And here's the thing, you know, you're right, because everybody is going to be like, oh yeah, I'm America First. I love Donald Trump, until they get to Congress and then they start voting against anything that he might say is a good idea. But, you know, I mean, even before then, you were fighting to expose the very same people who have been trying to take down Donald Trump since the very beginning. I was thinking about some of the people that you are running against, and at least one of them, instead of fighting against the people who want to take down Donald Trump, seems to be aligned more closely with those very same people. You know, John Podesta and the Center for American Progress, he clearly was like the brain trust behind Hillary Clinton and her entire organization, the Clinton Foundation. Oh, yeah. John Podesta was the nerve center.
Too, man.
Oh, absolutely. Total pedophiles, totally disgusting people.
Witchcraft, all that other stuff with the spirit cooking, and
that's right.
It's disgusting crap. Yeah,
pizza related maps and the whole thing. But
you know, interesting. Oh, hold on. I put on the show here because I want to be able to see the comments and stuff too.
Oh, yeah.
So now I'm watching on Rumble. So if you have a comment that you want me to see, I may not be able to see them because I'm trying to watch two things, but
you're good.
I've got the Rumble open to be able to watch. I know a lot of people are on Foxhole too, and yep. My brother listens on Foxhole. So Ryan, if you're listening tonight, he goes by a Campy Stabby, which funny story about that. It's like, why, what the heck does that mean? That's because back in the days when we used to play, you know, like Halo and stuff, he would hide out and then sneak up behind you and stab you every time when you were camping.
That's so funny. Real quick, Glenette took her red pill. Good to see you, Glenette. She says, glad to catch you live, especially for Nate. Yeah, it's always a good time when Nate's on the show. All right, so we're in the crunch time here. And the reason these shows are so important to me is because I want as many people as possible to know who you are. I know that you're doing a great job campaigning. You're, like, actually out there. Do you know if any of your other competitors are hitting the ground and actually meeting people in the same way you are? I mean, I can't imagine they are.
You know, we all go to the same GOP dinners. We all go to the same, you know, events, right? But I don't know if any of those other people have any sizable volunteer group. So I don't think anybody else is doing the door knocking and the, you know, actually talking to people at their homes and things like that. It's hard to know because they don't necessarily publish those things if they were, but I know whenever I see, like, for example, well, for one thing, I don't see Riley hardly at all. Like he's just skating it. He's got 800,000 in the bank, so he's just running TV commercials all day. It's hilarious too. You know, he runs these commercials and, you know, he talks about how he started off his career as a welder. And not exactly
really?
True.
Really?
He started off his career as a lobbyist. And then he went to work as a delegate. When he lost his seat as a delegate, then he got a job as a welder. And that was like short lived, right? Because he got right back into politics. But it cracks me up, man.
That's an important distinction to make, too.
Yeah. Now I see these politicians. You know, speaking of what you were talking about at the very beginning of the show, you had on there, you know, Nate Kane, the only America First candidate, right? And I asked you to change it because the truth is, there's nothing that disgusts me more than these politicians that do nothing but lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it with every single one. I think maybe the only one that hasn't lied, at least not intentionally, I think is, I've got basically four other candidates. It's Riley Moore, who everybody knows who he is. Mm-hmm. You've got Joe Early, who, you know, he is a FBI contractor.
Oh, isn't that convenient?
he told me this actually the other day. So, and he's cybersecurity for the last 6 years or whatever, right? And then you've got Chris Mookie Walker, who came out of nowhere. I mean, literally just comes in at the last minute. Now, to their credit, Chris Walker and Joe Early, they both served in the military. They both served their country, and I give them, you know, props for that. And then you got Alex Gasserud, who's a young guy, you know, probably has a future in politics. I just don't think this is his time. You know, he's still young. He comes across a little bit, I think, a little forceful. And what I mean by I don't think he intentionally lies, but he's, you know, he's doing the typical exaggeration thing, like, oh, on day one, I'm going to create the largest, you know, mass deportation task force. Man, you ain't going to do nothing. You're one out of 435. Let's get real. All right.
I mean, I'm going to try real hard.
Yeah. Now you could say, I'm going to dream about doing those things, or I'm going to fight for those things. That's an honest statement. I'm going to fight for those things, mm-hmm. or I'm going to push for. That's fine. But I can't stand it when I hear people lying, and because, you know, look, I the one thing that just the thing that when I felt God calling me to run for office, what irritated me or frustrated me, I guess, about that whole notion and why I kind of pushed back immediately, you know, was I said, Lord, I meant other righteous people, not me, because I've always made jokes about politicians.
Right.
I've always said, you know, a politician is lying when their lips are moving.
That's right.
And my other favorite one is, you know, politics comes from two Greek words, poly meaning many, ticks meaning bloodsuckers, you know, and that's the truth of it, man. It's like, you know, these politicians, they just, I've had to sit there and endure their lie after lie after lie. And then now that we're like in the crunch time the last 2 weeks, you know, I follow them all on social media because I want to see if they're, you know, what are these guys saying? You know, what are they sure. talking about? And so I'm seeing their ads now, and their ads are all, I'm the only America First candidate. Joe Early had an ad out today on that. You had Mookie Walker the other day who had an ad that said, I'm the only pro-Trump candidate. Give me a break. Every single candidate says they're pro-Trump.
Right.
Because
you're
not getting elected unless you're pro-Trump in West Virginia.
That's right.
then you got one that says, who says, I'm the only pro-life candidate. Because I've been endorsed by West Virginians for Life. Yes, you bought their endorsement. That's another thing that irritates me is the endorsement process. Listen, folks, politics has got to be the most dirty, corrupt, lying, conniving thing that I have ever been a part of. And it's disgusting. And it grosses me out. And there's nothing really that you can do other than try to be a better example. And try to, you know, and I have a strong faith in God. And so I'm constantly praying and asking the Lord to help me and help me not succumb to the temptation, to basically start fighting dirty or start doing the things that most politicians do.
So I think it's safe to say you haven't bought any endorsements.
No, not at all.
I mean, because you didn't pay me, I'll tell you that much.
No. Now, I did pay for advertising. The only thing that somebody might consider that is I paid for advertising on a radio program up in Northern Panhandle because there's a guy named Dimitri Vassalaros. He's definitely got the number one, you know, conservative talk radio show. Mm-hmm. So he gave me an opportunity. He said, "Hey, you know, do you want to advertise on here?" And
yeah,
I said,
"That's understandable." Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, "And I want to buy up all the spots so that none of my competitors can take it." Now he endorsed me, okay, but yeah. you know, but it wasn't like, "Hey, I'm going to give you money and you endorse me." And he tells everybody, "Look, you know, I've endorsed Nate, but you know, and all I want to be, you know, clear and make this clear that you know he's somebody who's." Who's an advertiser on the show, and so he's honest, you know, and yeah. that's good. But the big endorsements, like General Flynn, mm-hmm. did not have to kiss his butt. I did not have to, you know, beg him for an endorsement. I did not have to make promises to him for an endorsement. I did not have to pay him to get his endorsement. All I had to do was just tell him, remind him who I am, you know, because he meets a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I had a chance to meet him again in person at an event. And, you know, and the Lord gave me an opportunity to speak at that event for like 5 minutes. That's all I had. But in that 5 minutes, I saw him sitting in the crowd, and I made sure to make mention, you know, I was the FBI whistleblower that blew the whistle on Hillary Clinton. I've worked on election integrity extensively. I know those are two issues that matter to him. And I reminded him, and I said, and, you know, General Flynn, I want to thank you for when I was going through the hardest time, you know, as a whistleblower, you sent me a message, a direct message on Twitter, and it really encouraged me, and it did. I mean, you know, he was a famous dude, you know, went through his own hard, you know, trials and stuff right before I went through mine. And,
mm-hmm.
and he sent me a picture of a knight kneeling on one knee with his head bowed down. And it said, and the devil, you know, thought he had won until I said amen. And he sent me that like little, you know, image, and it, man, you talk about something that just like, you know, makes you realize, yeah. You know what? The devil ain't won this one.
That's beautiful.
He has, but he hasn't. And so I reminded him of that. And afterwards, you know, he called me over to him and I showed him that. And, you know, and then I told him who I was running against. He says, oh, we got to do everything we can to get you in there. He goes, you know, you're definitely going to get my endorsement. So
that's
so
great.
Now every other endorsement that I've gotten, and I will just tell you this, like I've gotten endorsed by the Truckers National Owner Operators Association. I never asked for their endorsement. They endorsed me because I sat down with them for 3 hours and actually listened to them and came up with suggestions and ideas on what we could do to fix the problems that they're dealing with. These truckers are losing their livelihoods mm-hmm. because of all of these regulations and because the way that the government is treating them and not actually going after people who are double brokering.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with an idea of a bounty system, you know, to basically bring whistleblowers out that, you know, they might lose their job if they bring, you know, bring out, but they're going to get paid the majority of the money is collected from the fine and things like that. There's some other things that I came up with on that. Then I got the endorsement of Restore Liberty,
mm-hmm.
which Restore Liberty PAC, they're a conservative group. I was the first person I talked to actually was the chapter head here in West Virginia because somebody recommended, hey, you should talk to this guy. He's got a lot of knowledge about West Virginia politics. And I met with him and he said, look, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Alex Mooney when he, you know, he came to West Virginia and, you know, to run. Now he came to West Virginia to run. I was living here for 3 years before I decided to run. And I certainly wasn't even thinking about that. But he told him, he says, you need to use the same strategy. And he said, and that strategy is get out there and meet the people. You need to go to every GOP dinner. You need to go to every GOP meeting. You need to go to the senior citizens homes. You need to, you know, our senior citizen centers, you need to go to, you know, go knock on doors and do all of that. And so I listened to him and I did that. And it's been very effective. And I remember when I first used to go around places and, you know, and I'd say, you know, how many in this room have ever heard of me? And nobody would raise their hands. And then I would say, how many of you heard of Uranium One, Hillary Clinton and the FBI's cover up? And everybody would raise their hands. So, yeah, I'm that guy. But that was how I started off things. And it was discouraging because like nobody knew who I was. You know, that's the thing is that like, you know, news cycle, people remember events, but they don't remember people.
Exactly. Yeah. And they did a pretty good job of just making that go away too.
Oh, heck,
you know,
dude,
just buried it.
The longer I talked about it, the more irritating it was because they couldn't come after me for anything I said, because if they did, they'd be confirming that they were doing illegal crap.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So it was like, you know, it was basically, how do we make this guy shut up? Well, they try, you know, well, I won't say they. I got poisoned twice. Okay. I had my lug nuts loosened. That didn't shut me up. That just made me louder. So I think they said, oh, we don't want this guy louder. So the next best thing, censor him. So of course I had my Twitter account permanently banned.
Mm-hmm.
And actually it was the best thing ever happened.
Wait a second. You know what just occurred to me? When I mentioned, the Center for American Progress at the beginning, they were huge in the efforts to fund those private intel companies that were working with various federal agencies to tell the social media companies who to ban and when to ban them. And, there was a big one called, Hamilton 68, which was a fake dashboard that supposedly tracked Russian disinformation. Now, You know, that was very early on. That was right around the time. Well, I guess that was even before you came out as a whistleblower. But that really, like, kind of jump-started this whole private disinformation chasing, manufacturing, and also suppressing organization that they had started. And so the Center for American Progress gave out grants to these various organizations, and those grants were basically, you know, just like the same type of funneling of money that George Soros and the Open Society Foundation does into all these other organizations.
Yeah,
so they would funnel that money in.
Just a different set of globalists,
yep,
right?
Yep.
You know, the Koch brothers,
mm-hmm,
the very anti-Trump Koch brothers. In fact, there was a New York Times article that the Americans for Prosperity, right?
Mm-hmm.
That group raised $81 million to try to tank Donald Trump's, you know, his primary. How much you want to bet they're behind some of these lawsuits, too?
Oh, 100%. Sure.
So.
Wouldn't doubt it.
You know, so guess who got the endorsement of them?
Mm-hmm.
Riley Moore.
Yep.
So, you know, look, the frustrating part about politics is if you are an honest person, if you are a godly person, if you are somebody who has morals and you are not an amoral person, you know, that's another one. Why do you think there are so many lawyers? No offense to any lawyers listening, but why do you think there are so many lawyers in politics? Because most politicians, you have to be amoral to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to do dirty things. You've got to basically, you know, lie, cheat, steal, do all these things, take money from bad guys in order to win. That is what most people believe. Now, call me a naive optimist. But I still believe that you can win by just good old fashioned hard work and prayer. And, you know, you need prayer because, look, there are things that are out of your control. For example, I was just talking with my wife tonight, and my wife, Melody, she's in the room here listening. So,
hey, Melody,
we're staying at a hotel tonight. Listen, most of the time we try to stay at people's houses, and we have just some awesome, awesome volunteers. And, but when you're living out of your car and you've been living out of your car and traveling as much as we have and staying in people's, you know, houses for the last, like, I don't know, 6 weeks,
mm-hmm,
you almost need a hotel room just to get some privacy every once in a while. So this was good. And actually I could set up my lights and, you know, I wanted to have a good interview with you. Although I will tell you, I'm very disappointed in this hotel's interview. Totally sucks.
It's actually, it's not stuttering or anything. It's looking pretty good right now.
That's good. That's good. Let's keep our, you know what? Maybe we should just real quick, Lord, please bless this, the show, and don't let anything happen to our communications.
Amen.
I do that because, you know, I no joke, man. When I broke this story about the Chinese, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but when I broke the story about the Chinese infiltration into election, management systems in multiple counties across the U.S., And I have evidence of it. Okay. That's the difference. This is not, you know, it's evidence that was collected legally. The problem is that, the first time I tried talking about it on the internet, you know, or doing a show, dude, my phone like locks up. I can't even power it off. Can't even reboot it. Nothing. You know, my internet keeps going in and out. I start having buttons and all kinds of weird crap happening. I've seen all that before.
I've seen it too. When people's phones just start doing all kinds of crazy stuff out of nowhere when important stuff's going on.
Well, I've seen it because I know what tools are used to do that. Because I used to do that kind of stuff.
That's right.
So I was a little bit perturbed, and I'm like, you know, these jerks, you know, they're messing with me. But what I've learned is sometimes the best thing to do is just pray. And, you know, and then that just somehow it just seems to make things go better. When we first talked the first time, this is just giving a little background history, and I'll try to keep an eye on the time here. First time we ever met, do you remember how scared I was? I didn't want to talk about anything. I think I told you right off the bat, look, don't ask me anything about the whistleblowing. We can talk a little bit, but, you know, I want to do a pre-record because I want to be able to edit if I say something I shouldn't have said.
Yep.
I was so scared, man.
I remember. I mean, I was scared talking to you, Nate. I mean, it was thrilling. I mean, I was like, this guy's a hero, man. I mean, people need to know about him. And I was so excited just to like be able to chat with you offline and talk about that stuff. Even if we couldn't talk about it on air for a while, I was like, this is amazing. And let me just say, you know, I respected what you did. Like, I can't even like really quantify this for the audience, but I mean, like, knowing who you were and what you had done, I was like, this guy is an American hero. Because, you know, I mean, this is the same reason that I absolutely immediately love Donald Trump. He didn't need to run for freaking president. He was set for life. People respected him. They were not mean to him. They did not attack him. You know, I mean, he had everything he could ever want. All of the worldly things he could ever want, he was set. And he could have just rode off into the sunset and continued to be, you know, Donald Trump. And people would have kept making rap songs about him. And it would have been great. You know, beautiful wife, beautiful family, all of the stuff. Okay. And that was basically you too. You know, I mean, you had your family, you had your career, you had everything you could ever want. You know, you had
the most money I ever made in my life.
Exactly. Yes. And you gave it all up.
I was making as much money as a surgeon with no degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because I had experience and I got lucky and, you know, learned some things very early on at the right time.
Yep. Yep. And you did the right thing for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And people don't do those things enough. Especially in Washington, D.C. You know,
well, that's just it, is that these guys, they compromise themselves. I've seen so many good people who have been just completely polluted by politics.
Yep.
You know, I think they mean well. And at first I kind of suspected it, but I didn't know it firsthand. Now I know it firsthand because
you've come a long way, Nate, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I've been around the block a little bit. You know, I've been down in D.C. I've been down around, you know, these politicians, and I've seen it. It's like this, it's kind of like, I grew up in Los Angeles, right? So I'm used to meeting movie stars and, you know, famous singers and famous people. And what I found is that it's like, it gets to their head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it corrupts them. They get all of the perks and the benefits of fame and fortune, and they get insider trading tips and things like this. And this is what goes on in Congress. And there are, I don't want to say that there's not good people there. There are some that are good.
Well, it's called the swamp for a reason. You know,
yeah, I mean, even the ones that are good, still there's this thing where they'll compromise a little bit here and a little bit there, mm-hmm. you know, in order to get elected. They'll take money from people from these special interest groups, these corporations, these PACs. And then they'll get up there and they'll talk about how bad these PACs and these corporations and, you know, special interest groups are. Meanwhile, they're taking money from them. And I heard one guy tell me, and I respect this guy and I like him a lot. He's no longer a candidate, but he was. And he said to me, he goes, you know, we're just going to have to take the money. And then once we get elected, then we'll try to change it. And I'm like, no, man. You know, the moment you give in is the moment that you no longer have a solid foundation. Your foundation is now corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to change it when you get in there because the money's going to be too good. It's going to be, you know, you're not going to want to work this hard every single time you have to get out in there and campaign if you know you can do it easier. So you got to stick to your guns from the very get-go. So I've done that. I've stuck to my guns. I've been very, very strict about certain things. Look, I love Donald Trump. Okay. He's the only president that I will ever say that I love. Like, I actually really think he's the right man for the right time. Do I agree everything with him? Heck no. I did not agree with the way he did things with the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the rushing of vaccine is never a good idea. I just think that he was in a bad situation. It's like he was, you know, damned if he did, damned if he didn't.
Right.
So, you know, he created it, but then he made clear that this should not be mandated. And then, of course, you know, I don't think he expected to lose. You know, I think he expected to win. But, you know, when he lost, and I say lost, but really he didn't lose. Mm-hmm. They stole the election.
Right.
But
he was forced out.
I don't think he expected that. Mm-hmm. I know some people believe there's this whole plan and all this stuff. I don't buy into any of the hopium, I call it. I think that the election was stolen, and I think Trump is somebody who makes the best out of whatever situation that he's in. If he has bad publicity, he turns it into useful publicity.
Mm-hmm.
If he has, you know, a stolen election, he turns it into an opportunity to rant and, you know, and raise holy hell. And so, but
he is by far the best president I've ever seen because, and for me personally, and it's different reasons for everybody, but for me personally, he's the only president I've ever known that kept every promise that he made, at least tried to. And that matters to me. I've paid attention to that. I've actually started a list of writing down things that I've talked to people about on the campaign trail, you know, that they've asked for. And I've started writing these things down. Tonight we were in Brook County and I heard them talking about the, there's a bridge up there that has been just sitting, they're not getting, you know, fixed and it's causing all kinds of traffic problems and stuff like that. And so I told my wife to write it down, because I'm going to work on that. You know, Lord willing, I get in there. I'm going to work on trying to get the money for this bridge, which is an interstate bridge. So it should be the feds paying for this sort of thing. It's infrastructure. Like we're sending, we can't find the money to fix a bridge, a doggone bridge that the American taxpayer is paying for, but we can find money to send to the Ukraine or we can find money to give to, you know, give to, Jordan to, you know, we can't get money enough to fix our border.
Mm-hmm.
But we can give money to fix Jordan's border.
Yep.
We can't find money, you know, to help fix some of our healthcare problems, right? Like I go to the VA, right? I use the VA. The dang VA in Martinsburg has had a MRA or MRI that has been broken for over 2 years.
Wow.
2 years. They've not had a working MRI. Yet we can find money to pay for transgender surgeries in our military and transgender drugs for people in other countries. Look, if people didn't realize that our Congress is completely sold out and bought and paid for or being blackmailed, then you got something wrong with you because there's no excuse for what they are doing right now. And the only reason they do it is because they can.
Mm-hmm.
And because nobody holds them accountable. And because half of these guys are, you know, they're completely corrupted. So I'm not making promises that I'm going to fix anything. I'm not making promises that I'm going to do this or do that. I'm telling people I will fight for these things. I will try to do something with it. I do realize that, you know, I can't just go down there and make enemies, but I'm not going down there to be everybody's friend and be part of some social club. I'm going down there to do the people's business, Lord willing. And I have to, I've got to maintain my integrity before the election and during the election, because if I don't, then I will be compromised on day one.
Well, we already know that the CIA uses people's predilections against them, okay, to blackmail them in whatever way they can. So if you have some weakness, if you're, you know, flirting with someone or you're having an affair or you've done something on the side or you have taken cash from somebody, they're going to know about it and they're going to use it against you. So you've got to be squeaky clean. That's the only way that you can go in.
You've got to be squeaky clean or you got to be open and honest about all your mistakes.
Exactly. Right? Own your past or live your present.
I've been honest about, you know, things that I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that my wife cringes when I've talked about, but I do it because I'm not going to be blackmailed, period.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I've had a top secret clearance for 27 years. You know, how you have a top secret clearance and you maintain it for that long?
By passing your tests.
That's right. And you get used to just being honest about, yeah, I had an alcohol problem at this time in my life. And I had some foreign friends in these other countries and here's their names and here's their phone numbers. Yeah. I mean, you basically have to allow them with a stethoscope, to look at every orifice of your life. Okay. And then, they're going to want to know where you've lived for the last 10 years, who you've talked to for the last 10 years. They want to see your finances for the last 10. I mean, it is like, They get everything, man. Everything. They've looked at all my finances. They've looked at everything I spent my money on. So, yeah, it's pretty hard to have something like what they call a single scope background investigation for that long. If you are somebody that has a whole bunch of, like, you know, skeletons in your closet.
So, Nate, let me ask you this. I mean, considering what we know about how corrupt Washington, D.C. is, I mean, obviously elected officials, they've got to get security clearances to look at some of this stuff. I mean, when they go into that meeting with the FBI and sit down and they're getting their background, you know, combed through, I mean, do you think these guys just look at him and say, you know, we know about that woman in, you know, in the UK, or we know about your girlfriend in Peoria, or we know about, you know, those kids in, you know, Bob Menendez in the Dominican Republic. I mean, do they make them aware of that stuff, do you think? I mean, or do they just like, well, keep it in the back pocket?
Yes and no. The way that they get, so no, they, the investigator doesn't know, or if he does, he doesn't tell them. Now some jobs you have to have a lie detector test done and lifestyle poly. I honestly think that polygraphs are a complete waste of money. I don't think that we should be doing them because they're fake. The only reason they do them, they're designed to cause people to get nervous and scared. And you'd be surprised how many people admit to crap that they probably never would have admitted to when they're wired up. It's a psychological thing. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm going, read through, because the FBI publishes all that internally. And I'm looking at going, why in the hell would you ever admit to that?
Right, right.
Even if their machine said you were lying, I would never admit to that because it's a criminal act and you're going to go to jail now, dude.
Right, right.
And so it's like, but that, you see people do this all the time. And
inadmissible in court. I mean, it's just, it's a psychological tool. Right. Yeah.
But they will use it to go after you after that and you know, bring, you know, and truly investigate you. And so
once you've said I committed an overtly criminal act, then you screwed yourself.
Yeah. So word to the wise, if you're ever on a polygraph, don't ever admit to anything criminal ever. Go to your priest, all right? You know, go to God in prayer. Don't ever admit that to you know, somebody under a polygraph. That's just,
I mean, and you still have a Fifth Amendment privilege, even if you're being given a polygraph, don't you?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. So, you know, just because they got wires.
You might not get the job, but at least you won't go to jail.
That's
now,
great.
I have had polygraphs, and I'll tell you, my polygraph was interesting. Apparently, and this is probably why I can never get away with lying to my wife, because she's able to like read.
Oh God, Lisa's the same way. She
right through me.
She would see right through it.
Well, apparently the polygraph guy, when he was doing my polygraph, he would ask me a question, and he kept getting double entries because every time I said yes, my head was nodding, and every time I said no, my head was doing. I had total no control over it. He said, can you stop nodding your head? And I go, I'm nodding my head? And he said, yes, you are. And it's causing a double entry. It's screwing it up. And so I tried it again, failed. I could not do it. And, you know, they say that like this, you know, what do they call it?
Emotions or something like that.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
but,
something,
you know,
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's basically, you know, things that your face, you know, show.
Yeah.
The head nod thing. Micro expressions. Yeah. So the head nod thing is a real thing. And apparently I've got it really bad. So when this guy was doing this thing, right, you know, I kept nodding head. So then he said, all right, I don't want you to answer verbally. I just want you to nod yes or no. And so basically it was silent the rest of the test. I didn't say anything. I just.
That's so
and
funny.
Then, finally he got an accurate reading, but he had to move the blood pressure cuff like 3 times. Because I pray all the time, so I'm like really good at meditating.
Oh yeah.
And you know, and I didn't want to get all nervous and everything. So I just calmed myself. I prayed and just said, Lord, you know, just help me pass this polygraph test. And you know, so I was all like totally in the zone, man. Just
you were
totally
zen'd out.
And he's like, he's not getting a blood pressure reading on my arm, so he had to move it to my leg, and then he had to move it down to my ankle. It was just like, it was funny.
That's hilarious.
The guy probably finally was like, man, I'm so sick of this. Sorry, just fine.
Yeah, you passed. We're done. Well, Nate, there's something that popped up in the last couple of days. And, you know, since you are a whistleblower, I thought it was appropriate to speak about. So about 2 months ago, Boeing whistleblower by the name of John Barnett was suicided in his car in South Carolina. I believe he was there doing a deposition. He had finally gotten to the point where he was testifying in these depositions in a suit against Boeing. They had marginalized him and then basically forced him out of the company because he was raising red flags about safety concerns at Boeing. And he loved that company. He was there for like over 30 years and he hated seeing it. He also hated the idea that maybe people were going to die because it was a huge problem with the company and obviously the 737 MAX specifically. So he's dead. And his lawyer said, he told us a couple of days before, I'm not suicidal. He also said that Boeing was spying on him, that they had people following him and such. Now, nothing has come of that. From what I understand, the investigation is still ongoing. The police are still looking into his death, although it was officially declared a suicide. Because, of course, he had a silver revolver in his hand with his finger still on the trigger. That doesn't normally happen. If you've ever seen anybody blow their brains out, you know, the gun tends to leave their hand.
That's right.
And then he also had a suicide note, which they haven't revealed. So we don't know if it's his handwriting. But so 2 days ago, my friend Brad and I, we do a show on Wednesday nights called Altered State. We're talking about that Boeing whistleblower. And I said, well, let me just look up John Barnett and I'll see if there's any progress on the case. And I shit you not, 4 hours before we started our show, the death of yet another Boeing whistleblower had been announced. This one was a guy by the name of Josh Dean. Now, this is even more compelling. Because Josh was a Boeing whistleblower, but he was an employee of Spirit AeroSystems. Spirit AeroSystems was the manufacturer of the seals on the door that flew off of the 737 MAX, and they were responsible for a number of parts that were being installed on these 737 MAXs and another number of other Boeing airlines. And he also was involved in a separate lawsuit against Boeing, along with a number of other whistleblowers who were also suing because they had been wrongfully terminated. Now, he died after a brief and sudden illness. All of a sudden, about 2 weeks before he passed away, he had problems breathing. They took him to the hospital. They immediately put him on a ventilator. I mean, that right there was his death sentence. Okay. I mean, as soon as they started breathing for him, his body started shutting down. Then they had to hook him up to another machine that actually ran his blood and reoxygenated it. And then because he's in the hospital, he developed MRSA. And then that was it. He expired.
Yeah.
Any comments on these very suspicious deaths? I mean, one is, what do they say? One is coincidence, twice is happenstance, three times is a pattern. Well, there's a lot of other whistleblowers that might show up dead.
Yeah. How about Philip Haney?
Oh, yeah. No, Philip Haney.
Philip Haney. Yeah. You know, he was the Department of Homeland Security, one of the charter members. He exposed Obama and for his basically deletion of all of the records that they had on, you know, Muslim terrorists.
Yep.
Then he was getting ready to write another book. And I think it was Representative Gohmert spoke on the floor about this, that was his friend. Mm-hmm. And he had told him 3 weeks beforehand, look, I'm not suicidal, but if something happens to me, know that I did not kill myself.
Yep.
And Gohmert came forward and spoke this on the floor of the House, and he knew he had a thumb drive that had a lot of information on it that he always wore around his neck. It was missing.
Mm-hmm.
The guy had a bullet wound to the chest, and it was determined to be a suicide. Who shoots themselves like this?
I mean, come on. Friends of the Clintons, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you're right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was also that woman who exposed the
DC Madam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she found hung.
Yep.
A little also black book about,
said she wouldn't kill herself.
That's right. And then there was also a reporter who exposed the Panama Papers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference is, because she wasn't in America, she was down in Ecuador, they just blew her up with a car bomb.
Yep.
They just outright kill you. They're not afraid of getting caught. But look, folks, blowing the whistle is dangerous business. Doesn't matter if it's the government or if it's a corporation.
Yep.
In fact, sometimes corporations might even be more dangerous because, you know, they have a lot on the line. Money
they do. Wise. Yeah.
You know, a politician, you know, they may have, this is the way I look at it. If what you are about to blow the whistle on is going to cause somebody to lose so much money that they, you know, and you know, that they're filthy rich and, you know, they're going to lose everything. And they're, especially if they're globalists, what do they care about you?
Yep.
Yeah. They're going to kill you in order to stop you from testifying. Do you remember the guy who was supposed to testify down in Florida? He was a FBI.
There was a couple of them. I mean, there was a
prosecutor or something like that.
Barrington Wiseman Jr.
He was found dead on the beach with a bullet in his head. You know, he was going to testify against Hillary Clinton.
I think actually, so he was in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's district, There was another one who died right before that. He was Klaus Eberwein. He was a Haitian. He was definitely testifying against Hillary. Just happened to drop a barbell on his neck with like 150 pounds on it.
Yeah. Well, you got Obama's, you know, cook, right? Their chef.
Mm. Mm. Chef Tafari Jackson.
That's right. I mean, look, man, this stuff is dangerous business, you know, being a whistleblower.
Yep.
I'm now a two-time whistleblower, and I ain't going to lie. You know, I get nervous. But the truth is, you only have one life to live, and then you go meet your maker. And if God's called you to do it, and that's a key difference between, I think, you got to be careful. You know, like, man, I don't go where I don't feel the Lord calling me to go. You know, and like there were things I could have blown the whistle on that I didn't. There were things that, you know, that I've seen over the years that I probably could have said something, but it wasn't like important enough to me where it was like a national security thing, but it was something that definitely would made, you know, made my life dangerous, you know, would have put, you know, put myself at risk. And so you'd have to weigh everything. And when I told my wife I was going to blow the whistle on the FBI, she sat up in bed and said, "What? Why does it have to be you?" It's a good question. You know, I'm just one guy. Why can't it be anybody else that's been there for a longer time? And I think I realize and recognize that if you're an FBI agent, you're not going to blow the whistle. You got a pension. You know, why would you ruin yourself and ruin your family? Me, I didn't have a pension. I had a contract. Granted, it probably would have been a lifelong contract with the way they do contracts. And I was making more money than I ever made. But, you know, money's not everything. But your integrity is. And, but I've seen, you know, I've seen things where people get corrupted and there's just, they're afraid. You know, there's a lot of reasons that people don't do the right thing. And I think most of it is just that it's fear. And I don't have a lot of that left. I used to have a lot of fear. And when I grew up in school, you know, I was kind of like, I know I don't look like it now, okay? But back then I was a skinny little stick and I had no meat on my bones, all right? I don't know what happened to that little skinny kid. Who, you know, somehow
we get old and fat, Nate.
Yes, I am getting old and fat. But I used to get picked on. And, you know, and I was very afraid and fearful. And so, you know, what changed? You know, I got saved. You know, I got saved at 16. I had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit, with God. And I had, you know, things happen that just could not be explained through science, could not be explained through reason, and had to be God. Things that protected me. One of those things I remember as a kid, I was, this was actually before I became a Christian, but I remember this happening. I was, we were playing on the sport. And this is back in the day before they had safety equipment, all right?
Right, right.
our generation, you know, we, you know, they're like, you know, go outside and, you know, go play out in the yard, you know, and we're like throwing darts up into the air and they're coming down, you know, I mean, like, you know,
there's a cliff face over there, guys, go climb on it.
Yes, yes, lawn darts. I mean, we had games like that, you know, mm-hmm. People got paled by them. no joke.
Man. No, it's true. It's illegal. But, I mean, you go to the playground, you can die, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I was at the playground and I'm on this like 3-story high castle and we're playing tag. And I climb up on the like wall thinking I'm going to get away from some kid and he tags me and I get pushed off of the edge of this thing and I'm coming straight down. And you know, like when you're having like a scary accident type thing, everything is in slow motion.
Oh, yes.
So I remember I was basically free falling down. And there's this like little wall like this that has like, you know, the cutouts.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This thing's like sharp, right?
Mm-hmm.
Completely sharp, no dull edges or anything. And my head is headed straight for that wall. And some adult who's standing right next to this wall reaches out and pushes me. Immediately before I hit that wall, he pushes my head and I end up hitting the sand. It knocked the wind out of me, but that's all that happened. And then I stood up. And there's no adults around at all. The guy's nowhere to be found. You know, I remember this as a kid. And so I think it was an angel from the Lord protecting me. And I've had numerous occasions of where my life should have been ended, but I'm still here. My wife jokingly calls me Rasputin. You know, they can poison me, stab me, drown me. I'm just going to keep coming back, man.
Just got to grow the beard out.
Yes. You know, if I could, I get so jealous of that, man. I see these guys with these, like, big, thick beards on. And why can't I have a beard like that?
I could do it. I just never do. Like, I get, like, 4 or 5 days into it, and I'm like, I can't handle it. I got to trim it.
Well, I get the two things that happen to me. So, one, my beard grows like this.
So it makes
my head look even bigger than it is, right? And that's a problem. I mean, look at this melon, dude. You know, it's like a bobblehead, you know? I had to have the second largest hat they had in the Army. So, because, you know, it's like, that's why my mom had to have me cesarean, because, you know,
too big of a head. Oh, God.
It's that big brain. You've got your skull case has to accommodate.
Yeah, even they, you know, hard headed as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. How did we get on to talking about beards, man? I don't know.
Rasputin.
That's right. That's right. Rasputin. So you know, that's the thing, man, is that it is dangerous. I totally believe that these people were murdered. We live in a world where there is lawlessness, okay? Mm-hmm. This isn't the 80s where, you know, that kind of stuff was rare. This stuff happens all the time. People are getting murdered all the time. And it's much easier to get away with it nowadays than it was. You'd think it'd be harder because of, you know, forensic science and all that. But I got friends that work in forensic science, and they hate TV shows like CSI because it makes it look so easy, and it is not. It's like me when I watch, you know, these hacker movies, and it's like, oh, I'm in. Bull crap. I have been on that end of things, and I'm telling you, it doesn't work that fast. There's no way. Sometimes you spend weeks trying to get into a system, you know, months even, and you do a lot of planning and all this other stuff. You don't just like show up and you're like, what was that, swordfish or whatever?
Let me access their mainframe.
Yes, yes. There's a great scene. Oh, gosh, The Man in the Castle or something like that. There's
The Man in the High Castle? You're talking about Philip K. Dick?
I think so. Okay. A TV show. There's like a series.
Yeah, right? It was like the Nazis won the war. It was an alternate.
It's that one. There's an episode of, you have to look for it, like Cyber War. I'll see if I can send it to you. Dude, it's hilarious. I mean, they basically just made fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, they're like, oh, I'm going to send a thermonuclear cyber warfare attack. You know, and they're coming up with these crazy, stupid names. And it's embarrassing.
That's great.
But yeah, my daughter showed me that. But anyhow, all right, man. So let's.
Well, this is my ultimate question. I mean, how do we make the whistleblowing process safe for people? Because, you know, every single time I hear about a whistleblower, you know, mysteriously dying under strange circumstances, and nobody asks the freaking question. Nobody seems to do an investigation. It's just like as soon as they're dead, people are like, oh, well, I guess that's life, you know, like, you know, nothing to see here. And then they walk away. Meanwhile, I'm standing over here on the sidelines, you know, smacking myself in the head, thinking, you know, it's no wonder that people don't come forward. I mean, if you do, you're going to get killed.
Look, people got to take responsibility for themselves, and that includes whistleblowers. I carry everywhere I go. And if I'm going into a dangerous situation, I wear a vest. I don't screw around with this stuff. My wife goes with me everywhere. When we go somewhere, you heard her in the background. Yeah, the peanut gallery is speaking.
Oh, that's so funny.
But I'll tell you what. When we go to a you know, like a bar or something like that, you know, or dinner, and you know, there's a bunch of people crowded around. I've walked away from the table, leaving my glass there. My wife grabs it.
Good.
You know, if I leave a bottle of water on the table, she grabs it and she goes, get over here and take your water. You know, make sure you keep your hand on your water. I mean, she's really good about that. I take her with me everywhere, mainly because I know if I don't, she's going to complain that I'm never around. So I made her my campaign manager. That way she can't get away from me.
Brilliant.
But the thing is in all honesty though, you know, I don't ever want to be at risk of, you know, a honeypot type situation. Awesome. And that, you know, I think the Lord allowed us to experience this so that, you know, we could see. We were down in Trump Doral. This was like a year after my whistleblowing, and I kind of, you know, was like still famous at that time. And And I was up speaking at this event and I spoke. And then I went to the bar and with Mel, and she was sitting like, you know, real close to it. But I went up to the bar to go get a couple glasses of wine. And this young lady, and she was very well endowed and very low cut dress to where it was like, if she leaned over, it looks like they were going to fall out on, you know, at me. And she's like, oh, Nikki, let me get my picture with you. And I reached over and I grabbed Mel and I said, hold on, let me get my wife. And I grabbed her, pulled her in the picture. Because that's all it takes. It's a picture. You don't have to have done anything, you know. And they take a picture with you and make it look compromising. I mean, you know, you got to be concerned about even like these deep fakes and stuff like that now. But, you know, I just make sure she's with me everywhere. And if she's not with me, then I will have my chief of staff with me. You know, or always have a very trusted person, you know, who's there to be a witness. And so one of the things that I was told after I went through my whistleblowing stuff and I had some death threats and I had some, you know, I got poison and things like that. Two things. One, the guy told me, always put a camera in your car that sees out the front and sees out the back. The next thing is carry if you can. You know, if you're going into a situation where you know you're at risk, make sure you got a vest. Always be with around people, because all these people who get suicided, they're always by themselves.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, it's you know? If two people commit suicide together, it looks a little bit weird.
Then it's then it's going to be a little harder to explain and believe. Yeah. So all if you're always with somebody. So that's one thing with me is that you very rarely ever see me alone. You know, and if I am alone, I'm in a very public place. I'm never alone in a private place ever. So if you're somebody that absolutely loves your privacy, don't become a whistleblower. You'll never have privacy again. Not if you want to be safe. So those are how you protect yourself. The two times that I got, you know, poisoned, those were kind of scary because, you know, somebody sprayed something under my door handle. And that's how I got, you know, a neurotoxin. And so what my, I guess you could say advisor, you know, the special forces guy that came up and helped us secure our house and everything. He said, cameras are important. Get a camera for your car. And they get ones that they turn on when there's movement.
Yep. I've got one.
It points forward. It points back. And you get one of those. And, you know, if somebody sees one of those hanging, they're not likely going to do anything to your car because they know they've already been filmed. And they even have ones where you can, you know, you can have it to where it will, you know, it will, the one thing I would recommend is get one that's got Bluetooth so you can, you don't have to sit there and thumb through it. You know, you can just download the pictures and you can set it up to notify you. That's important. You know, get yourself a camera, you know, cameras around your house. Believe it or not, like my instinct was to, when I blew the whistle and I saw media people standing out on the curb filming my house, my instinct was to shut all my blinds so that they couldn't see me. Well, sure, at nighttime when you can't see out in the dark, it's probably best to have blinds, but during the day, you want all your blinds open because you want to be able to see them coming and you don't want a bunch of cover all over your yard. You want to have a wide open space between you and your house so you can actually see them. And so there's a lot of really good advice they gave me, and I put a lot of it into use, especially after having a couple close calls. I had somebody following me home one night, so I learned from my training over the years and having, you know, top secret clearance and, you know, being concerned about OPSEC. I never take the same way home. I always deviate slightly, you know. And then if you have somebody that's tailing you, there's a really easy way to find out. Make four right turns. Turn, 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 and turn. And if the person's still following you, they're following you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing you can do is if you feel like your life's being threatened, drive to a police station, you know, get out and walk inside. I mean, these are just common sense things, but people don't think about that. And so when whistleblowers, so maybe one of the things we need to do is we need to educate whistleblowers.
Yeah.
Immediately when they blow the whistle, they need to be sat down and educated about what not to do and what to do to protect themselves.
Yeah. Whistleblowing OPSEC 101.
Yep. Yeah. How not to get suicided.
Yep. Well, listen, Nate, I want you to hold on to any other thoughts you have, because we have to take a break for the second half of the show. And when we come back on the other side, we are going to open the phones. So if you guys have any questions for Nate about plans he might have once he gets into Congress in West Virginia, or what he might have in store for the rest of America, you guys can ask those questions to him. Also, thank you very much to both Glenette took her red pill and to Little Nick 713, who said Cori Bush is the biggest race baiter. I won't disagree with you there. And then we've got a bunch of questions and thank yous over on the Foxhole. We'll get to those on the other side of the break. We're going to be right back in just a moment. Sell in May and go away? Well, that says it all. David Brady warns the S&P 500 could nosedive to 1,000 points. And CEOs like Jamie Dimon have been warning about 1970s-era stagflation and key indicators like the Q1 GDP numbers at 1.6% or persistent inflation point to stagflation coming back to our country. And you see, the 1970s was a lost decade for the stock market. But you know what? Gold and silver, they exploded higher. And you know who understands that? China, Russia, India, and South Africa. All of their central banks' precious metals buying sprees have not slowed. Protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver and you're going to be okay. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just make sure to mention my channel, Red Pill 78, and this show, Red Pill News, and you will always get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee-for-life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver. Just give them a call today at 888-857-6092 to get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Once again, call them today at 888-857-6092. Mention me, Zach Payne, and when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, guys, welcome back. Let me go ahead and get the call information up on screen, and then we'll go ahead and pass that out. If you get, remember, if you don't have the Zoom app on your phone, you won't be able to join via video. So I suggest that if you're on your phone or you have an iPad or a tablet or something like that, make sure you download the Zoom application. Then you can go ahead and just click this link that I'm about to drop into all of the chats. And then it will bring you into the waiting room, and you're going to sit there until I bring you in. Do me a favor, guys. Let's respect Nate's time, because I want to make sure we get questions that are relevant to tonight's topic. So if you've got anything that you want to talk about that isn't related to this, just don't talk about it tonight. I would appreciate it. And then also, if you are just calling in on your phone and you don't have the Zoom application, you can just dial this number. And then it'll ask you for the meeting ID. The meeting ID is 203-534-1837. Write that down, because that is the same meeting ID every single week, every single time we do the show. So go ahead and take note of that, and then you'll be able to be part of the conversation sometime again in the future. Vector, you were on the line, but you've already hung up. So just get back on there, and we'll get you in here. I want to get through these questions over on the Foxhole, though. At pilled.net. Sean Joe, thank you very much for the cookie. Thank you also to Average Joe Patriot and Porpoiseful and Sean Joe once again. Let's see. Space Coast Patriot says, I watched you on Average Joe the other night, Nate. Good to see you again. Much love, Zach. Much love to you too as well. Space Coast also says, keep pushing the Killery Uranium One info, Nate. Killery was never president. No immunity. It's a very important thing to remember. And now that you have an opportunity maybe to go to Washington, D.C., and perhaps have a little bit more relevance in terms of this topic, is Hillary still in any legal jeopardy with regards to what happened, or has her crimes elapsed the statute of limitations that may have been relevant?
Most of the things that she's done would have already lapsed the statute of limitations. Like money laundering, I think. And unless you can prove that somebody lost their life because, so
the what about CIA contacts in China that would have been found out from her private bathroom service?
Well, espionage, I think carries no statute of limitations. Also, I think, and she certainly is guilty of that.
Yeah.
And then also, any crime that she had committed, any felony, where somebody would have lost their lives as a result of it, you know, where the death penalty could be applied, there's no statute of limitations. But, you know, yeah, so, you know, I just kind of have this, you know, fanciful vision, I guess you could say, of someday subpoenaing her. To come sit before Congress, and I'm sitting across from her, and I ask her all the questions that I already know the answers to, because I will have gone to the vault and gotten the documents the FBI took from me that the HPC still has a copy of.
Yes.
And I go down the list and I go, can you tell me about account number such and such and such?
Yes.
And this person and this country where this money came from, and, you know, and your connection to, you know, receiving a payoff of such and such and such amount, and, you know, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I think that would be a very fun thing to do, even if she can't be prosecuted for it because it's all, you know, past the statute of limitations, mm-hmm. just to expose how corrupt this woman is. I think that would be a great thing.
I think that would be beautiful. I would love to see that televised. Oh, man. Okay. And also, let's see. Space Coast said, that's why I don't trust Ted Cruz. He's a damn good lawyer and politician. Yeah. You know, I mean, it really sucks. You know, lawyers are clearly necessary in terms of the structure of our system.
Well, it's like politicians, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You mean you got to have them, but, like, you know, most of them are scumbags. But being a lawyer and a politician, I do think that that's a major problem. Because, as you said earlier, I mean, they're just too good at lying. They know how to make an argument, whether they believe it or not. And they can keep stumping that point until, you know, people just kind of fall for it, or they, you know, throw their hands up.
And kind of the way I look at it is, like, if you're a lawyer, especially if you're a defense lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm glad there are defense lawyers out there. So let me make that clear. Because God knows I needed one at one point in my life. And hopefully I don't ever need one again. But the thing about lawyers is that they, especially trial lawyers, right? They make a habit of having to turn off their moral compass mm-hmm. in order to defend somebody that they know, you know, is probably guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that because they build a moral framework, right, that, you know, that the Constitution is above, you know, and everybody deserves a right to a defense. So
correct.
So they have these tools that help them be able to deal with the, you know, what must be a conflict in their own heart, right? Mm-hmm. When they know that somebody's likely guilty. So their goal is to get the rapist the least sentence possible.
Mm-hmm.
The child rapist, the least sentence possible. I mean, that takes a level of amorality that I can't even imagine. Do you remember that there's a video of Hillary Clinton laughing about a rapist that she got off?
Yep, I remember.
She got a light sentence for. And that's the thing, is that that's the problem with being a lawyer, is if you're not careful, and this is where I say, I think there are good lawyers who do their job, but they're very careful to maintain, you know, a sense of you know, recognition, I guess, you know, of good versus evil.
Or they take cases that fall within their own, you know, within a standard moral framework, and not something that they have to compromise themselves for. And to be fair, I mean, I am friends with lawyers. I've had them on the show because they're fighting for the right things, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. So not to disparage them in general.
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, there's a lot of reasons why lawyers go into business law and they don't go into trial law. You know, they don't go into defense. And prosecutors, by the way, they suffer from the same thing that defense lawyers do, you know, because it's all about winning. No matter what no matter whether or not the guy's innocent or not, I've got to win.
Yep.
You know, cops have this problem. You know, they're like a dog going after a bone. And even if, you know, and that's how people sometimes end up, getting wrongfully, you know, convicted.
Yep.
So it's got to be a tough thing. I don't judge them because, hey, I'm not one. So, you know, and I've always believed that it's best not to judge a man until you walk a mile in his shoes. But I remember, you know, I just think that when you have somebody that's a lawyer and they're involved in politics, Yeah, there's always that there's always that risk, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it
would be, you know, kind of the same thing with, you know, like if you had somebody who was a, you know, an alcoholic working at a bar.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be able to do that. And wasn't it previously that lawyers were not allowed to hold elected office? Like for a period of time when our country was founded, like didn't there was like some prohibition against it?
Well, if there was, it had to have been a while after the initial founding, because a lot of those guys that signed the Declaration of Independence were lawyers.
Okay.
But I think there might have been something like that for a while. I know that there's been times where you've had there was a long time where communists were not allowed to serve in government or work in government. You know,
yeah, they still shouldn't be able to serve in elected office. Yeah,
and Obama did away with that. Wonder why?
Yeah, not surprising. Okay, so let's see. Thank you to Sean Joe for the two cookies. Also to Porpoiseful, Space Coast again said, "Did you see Don Jr.'s post on the second Boeing whistleblower? I did not. If anybody can drop that in the chat, I wouldn't mind pulling that up." And then Vector said, "Thank you for your sacrifice, Nate. Much love to you from your Australian patriot friends." 07. And then Space Coast also said treason has no statute of limitations. Yes, absolutely. All right, let's go ahead and bring in our first caller. It's going to be Freedom Machines, a.k.a. Mr. Amazing. Mr. Amazing, Freedom Machines, can you hear me, buddy?
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we've got audio. Yep. Good to hear from you. How you doing?
Roger that. Okay. There's way too much happening. Yeah, I'm super excited. So for the whistleblower stuff,
mm-hmm.
You guys hit on a lot of it, but for the viewers, if are any of you familiar with the Jeff Rhodes Clinton side?
Jeff Rhodes Clinton side. Is that the guy? Because I was thinking, I think if this is who I'm thinking it was when Nate and I were talking, there was a guy who was a whistleblower, and there was the official story was that he decided instead of whistleblowing, he was just going to kill his entire family and his dog and then shoot himself. Is that who you're talking about?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Different case.
If I'm not mistaken, because there's a million of these things that I had, the top five, but I couldn't do it because I'm talking to you on my phone and the notes I had are on my phone, so I couldn't compromise the signal. But anyways, this guy was running drugs with the Colombians. He's Hillary Clinton's brother.
Oh, okay.
This guy, this is deemed a suicide. He killed himself. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you what happened. He chopped off both of his own feet, both of his own hands. So there's no prints at all. And the top half of his head was removed. So dental records are non-existent. And apparently he also burned himself. So that's
why do I have a feeling that the coroner was done a crash heap?
Go ahead, I didn't hear that.
Oh, I was saying, yeah, I said, why do I get the feeling that the coroner may have been paid off? If that was deemed a suicide, that would be a pretty hard one to fall. But, you know, look, we had guy got, you know, beheaded, right? Through accidental beheading, and they claimed that was COVID that killed him, so nothing would surprise me.
I remember the guy in the Clinton body count who killed himself by wrapping I think it was an extension cord around his neck and then getting into his car and gunning the engine and got his head ripped off. And then of course the guy that I mentioned earlier, who was a fairly recent Clinton body count addendum, he was the guy who basically he helped facilitate Jeffrey Epstein coming into Bill Clinton's White House and something like 17 times or something like that. And he shot himself in the chest with a shotgun and then threw it 30 feet and then also hung himself also with an extension cord from a tree. And then another woman that he was close with, they were tied in a business sense. She wrapped an extension cord around her foot and then the other end around a cinder block and then went kayaking and then supposedly killed herself in a river down in Arkansas. But I did not know that this guy cut his hands off and then also the top of his head. I mean, what are the logistics?
And burned himself and happened to do it all before he got to the, not a trash heap, like a little dump. Like a trash dump.
Sure.
It seems like a very extensive form of, like, you know, a mousetrap game or something, you know?
even the Whitewater...
How would you pull that off?
I don't remember the guy's name, but apparently he walked on a rainy, muddy night away from his car into the park with no mud on his shoes, mm-hmm. didn't have his car keys while he's laying on the gurney at the coroner's office. All of a sudden, his car keys are there in his pocket.
Well, what was the guy, Vince?
Vince.
Vince Foster, yeah.
Vince Foster, remember yeah. they found him, you know, and I think he was, like, laying down and, you know, and the blood was dripping the opposite direction or something.
He moved himself after he died, and he was shot twice in the head, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and let's not forget the pregnant woman that was also off. I can't remember if that was Vince Foster in the Whitewater or a different one, but... The certain things, so you're running for office, yes. And obviously election integrity is paramount. And by the way, when I watched your first interview, I was dying to call in, but that one was pre-recorded. I was not able to call in, mm-hmm. but you had my eyebrows on fire with what you were saying about the evidence that you had, and all of a sudden the FBI... that you're turning the evidence over to is now saying, destroy all your evidence. I mean, that stuff had my mind blowing. And to tie this in to the level of distinction between parties.
Are you talking about the interview I did a couple of weeks ago? Or are you talking about the one I did, like, way, way, way back when the first
couple of weeks ago?
Okay. Yeah. So that's an important fact. Let me clarify something. It was Los Angeles District Attorney's office that told me mm-hmm. to destroy the evidence. The FBI just didn't do anything. They just basically ignored it. And they said they weren't interested when Allegheny County reached out to them and, you know, asked okay. them to investigate it.
Yeah, the connection I was making, because you mentioned the other, I can't remember, I think it was something for freedom. I think they did the 2000 mules and they turned over.
True the Vote.
Yeah, True the Vote.
Yeah, True the Vote. They basically were the first to expose all of that and, mm-hmm. You know, Chinese infiltration into election management systems that, you know, Poll Chief software that's owned by Connick. But what happened was, you know, Connick went after them, right, for defamation. Yep. But they didn't own the evidence. It wasn't their evidence. It was a source that they had who had given that evidence to the FBI. So they couldn't, like, defend themselves. Where my situation is different. This is why I have no problem going public with it, because they're not going to try to sue me, because then I'll just go public with all the evidence. So, you know, good luck. I actually own the evidence because, and this is where LA County really screwed up. They never paid me for the work that I did, and they owe me over $100,000. So I put a little clause in my, you know, my non-disclosure agreement I signed with them that said it does not go into effect until I'm paid. So fastest way they can shut me up is to pay me for the work that I did. You hear that, LA County?
F you, pay me.
I mean, the when you mentioned that the main guy you were putting the evidence towards was allowed to leave the country, and then they did a quote-unquote settlement, i.e. payoff.
Oh, yeah, $5 million.
With taxpayer dollars. I don't know if you can hear me getting kind of animated over here, but, like, we're literally paying the criminals.
Yeah.
We're paying the criminals, and they're putting themselves in power and to – for the viewers, I mean, you guys know.
Somebody ought to just walk down into L.A., go down to, like, you know, one of the poor areas down there and go talk to the people who live down there in L.A. that are poor, struggling to make ends meet, and go ask them, hey, do you feel it was okay for, you know, Gascon to pay, you know, $5 million in a settlement to this guy who did commit, you know, a crime and, you know, just to shut him up? I'll bet you people would not be too happy about that.
It's okay. They just paid for it with the crack money from the CIA.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not only that, they don't have money for any of the actual citizens in LA, but if you're an illegal alien, they'll give you a freaking debit card and put you up in a hotel.
Yep.
And ship you to any state you want to go to also.
And keep now you're, saying, you're getting into another subject I talked to. I was talking to Zach about earlier today about immigration.
You know, yeah,
I will gladly
go down that road. But what I was getting ready to mention, like to tie in the two different tiers of how literally corrupt it is. You had Debbie Wasserman Schultz get called out literally during the Democratic National Convention. She had to resign, and Hillary Clinton literally hired her the next day as her campaign manager, like, or one of the head campaign managers on her own staff, after they literally just admitted or were proven to have shown that they defrauded the Bernie Sanders Democrat supporters. Like, they took their money, stole money from Bernie Sanders supporters, and then they called her out on it. How in the main thing during the this is one of the things that red-pilled me the most, because I saw a 2-minute glimpse of them literally rioting during the Democratic National Convention back in 2015 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they were in the streets, like, flipping cars over.
Yeah.
Because these are liberals. You did this to your own group of outspoken college kids, and they're literally tearing shit apart. And the news was not covering it, but people started taking videos while they were there and posting them to YouTube. And they put up white noise machines over the Bernie Sanders supporters. They were paying seat fillers. If you were a Bernie Sanders delegate and you got up to take a leak and came back and someone was sitting in your assigned seat, you were not allowed to sit down again. And these things were never being mentioned in the news. And it was tearing the veil off of all of the corruption. But then I started, like, then you're watching what the F is up with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Juan brothers and the computer shit that was going on.
And the Juan brothers, you know, that was another interesting case, because these guys didn't just work for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She farmed them out to multiple people, both, I think, on both sides of the aisle.
Oh, yeah. It was Republicans, too. Yeah.
And so that was, you know, an they were internal spy campaign. They were spying for Pakistani intelligence.
Yep.
Exactly. Thank you, God, for saying that. Keep going. Keep going.
And nothing happened to Imran Awan either. I think the United States government actually paid him, too, in the same way that LA
took him out in the airport.
Yeah.
He was leaving with a suitcase full of cash.
Yep.
They took him out of an airport. And then Debbie Wasserman Schultz has the gall to tell, if I'm not mistaken, it was one of the Capitol police chiefs or whatever at the time, someone's going to be held accountable for not turning over that laptop that has all of this evidence. And somehow, in Florida, she gets quote-unquote reelected. Are you foxtrotting kidding me?
They stole that election. I mean, that was another Brenda Snipes specialty. I mean, you know, there was I forgot the name of the gentleman who was running against her, but, you know, Brenda Snipes destroyed the ballots when he requested a recount, and they basically made it impossible for him to prove that that the election had been cheated.
MAGA One brought up a good point here. Follow the NGOs.
Yeah.
You know, this whole thing about what I blew the whistle on with Hillary Clinton and everything, 100%, it's all about NGOs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the money laundering is happening through NGOs and through these quote-unquote foundations.
There you go. There you go.
One of the things that needs to be instituted, and I've said this for a long time, is all the 990s that are supplied, you know, it's all public record. That all of that needs to be scraped, run through an AI to identify patterns of money laundering, public corruption, kickbacks, and bribery. I don't know why we're not doing. Well, I know why we're not doing it now, because then half of the Congress would probably be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I have to wonder when I was in the FBI, the first conversation that made me look into this to begin with, they were talking about that this was so big it could bring down the government. Well, Uranium One would bring down Hillary, but it wouldn't bring down the government. What else were they talking about? And I think it was that they've been using these NGOs, and they've been using the U.S. aid packages and things like that to funnel money back into these foundations, you know, that it's either the spouses or the candidate or the family public members. Officials themselves. They have these family trusts, and they have these foundations, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and things like that. And all this money goes to groups like that, and then it ends up making it back to some of these people through big donations for their for their campaigns. I won't take money from the PACs or the super PACs. And it's not that I think that every PAC is bad. There are some good ones out there. Obviously, I'm totally supportive of NRA and I support the, Right to Life. I support the Restore Liberty PAC. They endorsed me. I got endorsed by Blue Ridge Patriots PAC and several other PACs, but I won't take their money because I don't ever want to be accused of being owned by them. And I think that is part of the problem. It was Justice, Antoine Scalia.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that wrote the opinion, I think, on Citizens United, or U.S. versus Citizens United. And that case basically changed everything, right? It allowed for, these big corporations to donate through corporate PACs directly into people's accounts. But anyhow, I think that was really, that's where a lot of this corruption stems from. So I think there's got to be, more transparency, and then there's got to be action done. And I would be happy if they just said, if you are a member of Congress, we're going to pay you more money, but you cannot own stock. You cannot trade in stock. We're not going to allow you, and neither can your spouse. And just say that, and say, and if we catch you making a phone call to your son right before you vote on something that has an impact, you will get arrested for insider trading. That is something that's got to change. They got to do something about it. I can't force anything to happen in Congress, but I can lead by example. And so I've made two major commitments, in my campaign before really anything else. And because I have total control over this, I've made it a public statement about it. I've said, look, I will not trade in any stocks or bonds or cryptocurrency while I'm in office, period. The only thing that I will allow myself to have is a TSP, money market, or not money market, 401k, where I don't have any decision-making power over what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, blind trust type thing. The other thing that I've made a commitment to is I've said that I will record every session that I have with a lobbyist. Basically, I will record it, and that recording will not get released immediately because there may be important strategic information, like who we're talking to get a bill passed. But at the end of the session, when it's no longer relevant, if we get the bill passed, then it's no longer relevant. Then at that point, I will release it. But I will always have minutes for every meeting. I will have a secretary there with me.
Yes.
And writing down minutes of what we talked about. And so at least
high level. CYA all the way.
Yeah.
Well, and the main thing is transparency. Look, you can FOIA. You can FOIA the FBI, the CIA. You can't FOIA Congress. They made it apply to everybody but themselves. You can FOIA a judge, but you cannot FOIA Congress. And it ain't right. You should be able to FOIA them too. I would vote for something to allow for FOIA to be applied to Congress as well. But they're never going to do that to themselves because there are too many of them that are corrupt. Now, I will do it to myself because then I can virtue signal, to take a term from the left. I can go virtue signal on Fox News and MSNBC and CNN and all of them go, hey, I'm being fully transparent. Is your congressman being fully transparent? Maybe you should call their office and ask them why not. So,
amen.
Freedom Machines, we got to take the next caller, buddy. We're almost to the halfway through the second hour. But I love you. Appreciate you. It was so good to hear from you.
Love you guys.
Love you too, brother. We'll see you next time. Peace. All right. And Gavi, I see you out there in the chat. You're not going to hijack the show. And you're also not going to come in here and say stupid shit, because this is a subject that I have talked about on so many different occasions. You're flat out wrong. And that's all I'm going to say. If you want to know the truth about what you're trying to allege in the chat, I've done countless shows where I've debunked what you're saying. And nobody's using racial slurs in the chat. You're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. Let's bring our next caller in. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead and mute the stream, and let's get your question for Nate. KC, how you doing, buddy?
Wonderful. Happy start to another great weekend. And
that's right.
I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you, last weekend I was down at the draft, and I saw an unbelievable, you know, talking about security, military state, and everything. I saw a large group of FBI hanging around a camouflaged Humvee, and they were all in camouflage as well. So, I mean, they really stuck out like a sore thumb, and I ended up taking a picture of it. Then a little later on, I went over to the people mover to get on and saw a couple of Michigan State police officers. And I just go to them. I go, hey, did you see the FBI over there? I go, yeah, you better coordinate with them, so we all know the next time our governor's going to get kidnapped. So I just had to rub it into them a little bit to say, you know what, we know what's going on, and you're not fooling anybody. So at least I think our Michigan State troopers know what's going on. So, but then I got on the people mover, and believe it or not, I just saw one of these police officers with a portable sniffer unit on his chest. And I'm thinking, okay, well, it probably one doesn't work, but it's all effect. It's all about the show and, you know, how we're being supposedly secure when we're really not. And I think a lot of that just banks down to, you know, Nate's question about the whistleblowers, their safety, and the perception. And when you see a lot of the whistleblowers that are dying, but you're also seeing, and there's a perception of at least Nate surviving, Tony Bobulinski, you know, Assange is in jail, but he's still alive for now. I think it gives us all some hope that you can be a whistleblower, but you almost got to make yourself so high profile that, yeah, you know, nobody's going to try something out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a number of people that told me, you know, basically, the safest thing I could do, if actually it was a reporter that told me, Nate, do you have a Twitter account? And I said, I do, but I only got like 2 followers, you know, my mom and my wife, you know, and the only reason I had the account was so I could follow Trump to see what crazy thing he was going to say to upset liberals, you know, each day. But they told me, said, you're going to want, when this goes public, you're going to want that account, and you're going to need to have an outlet to let your voice be heard. And the safest thing you can do is be public. And, you know, I don't like to get too much into the Q stuff, but the Q, my name was dropped 4 times by Q.
Okay.
And one of the things that Q did say was stay in the light. And I do believe that, yeah, there's some truth to that, that, you know, staying out there in public, I do believe has kept me safe. I've said it multiple times. I'm not suicidal. Look, I'm a strong Christian. I don't even believe in suicide. I think that, you know, that's the, you know, it's a mortal sin. And so I would never do that. But, you know, so that's probably why, you know, they tried to like give me some poison or something, so it'd make it look like I had a heart attack or make it look like I had a stroke, you know, something like that.
Andrew Breitbart.
What's that?
Andrew Breitbart.
Oh, I just quoted Andrew Breitbart in the chat. That's hilarious. But yeah, they shot him with the heart attack gun, undoubtedly.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. I mean, he was really calling these guys out, and you know, he was starting to expose. Remember, he's exposing John Podesta.
Yep.
No, yep. Oh, absolutely. Well, and the whole thing being on Twitter, Nate. Yeah. I hate to say it, but it's the Gonzalo Lira effect, and how they didn't give him any notice at the White House correspondents, because he was the only one giving the truth about how bad the war was going. And, you know, being on Twitter, that was captivating. I'm like, is he going to make it? Is he going to get asylum? And it's like, so thank God, at least we have Elon to thank for that and not shutting down accounts and, you know, letting more people on, which is always better. I noticed you said you were in a West Virginia hotel?
Yes.
Nate?
Yep.
Did you get the bed that takes the quarters?
Do they still make those?
Oh, man, that'd be nice. No, I could, man, I'll tell you, that's one thing I miss. You know, I could definitely use a good massage, man. It's like when you're driving all the time, we put like 90,000 miles on our car already. It's crazy.
Wow. Hopefully you get some write-offs.
I wanted to make a respond to a comment on here by Hiker Emoji. Armor of God. That is absolutely the truth. I pray the armor of God on me. I try to do it every day because I'll tell you, when I don't, man, it's like we had major spiritual warfare yesterday. And it was a national day of prayer. I attended two different events. Both the events were awesome. But, man, the time in between, it was just like nonstop attack. And, you know, and a spiritual attack can come in many different ways. Sometimes it just, you know, it happens through just being tired and, you know, you're not as alert as you should be. And, you know, and you're cranky and, you know, and it's just, it's important to always remember where our help comes from. You know, it comes from our mentor.
Well, I'm going to give you a spiritual tool, but also the mindset. And it's saying a Hail Mary, because what's the next line after Hail Mary?
I'm not Catholic.
Full of grace. Okay.
Sorry. I know.
You might want to pick it up. It's Hail Mary, full of grace. And grace is the dividing line. Because my idea of the Democrats is they are united, but they're without grace. Grace softens the edge of every spiritual argument or debate, and they won't have it, but you can't discuss it without grace. You can't take them on as an enemy. You can only point out their misinformation, if you will. Yeah. So if you go into anything without grace, all right, is it worth winning a battle if you're going to do it without grace and you're going to do a disgrace? Okay. So I think it's main difference between Protestants and Catholics, and neither church is, you know, perfect. But I also think that, the Catholics, the Christians, they bring mercy, grace, and redemption, bacon, other things, but it's really about the grace. And it's woman empowerment, if you think about it. If you've got to talk to women voters and they don't recognize Mary, the mother of God, you know, you almost got an uphill battle. So lean on the feminism in that respect and say, you know what? She had a very important role and that should never be diminished. So this is a spiritual tool. Saying Hail Mary isn't going to hurt you.
Let me share something with you that, and to, you know, to your listeners that, that I've experienced on this campaign. You know, I pretty much my experience with God kind of started off in a very traditional Baptist church. And I had a Holy Spirit encounter and so I've kind of always been kind of partial to kind of charismatic and, you know, Assemblies of God and that kind of, you know, the Vineyard non-denominational evangelical type churches. That's been my cultural experience as a Christian, and I've had a lot of very powerful experiences like that. But I will tell you, this campaign, the Lord has had us have, been able to stay with many of our volunteers. And I have volunteers that are Catholic. I've got volunteers that are Church of Christ, volunteers that are Methodist, volunteers that are Presbyterian, volunteers that are Assemblies of God, a lot of them that are Assemblies of God. And I've gone to church with almost all of them, you know, on Sundays when we've been in their, you know, neck of the woods. And I will tell you, it has been an amazing experience because I never had set foot before in like a Church of Christ. Just to get, you know, use that as an example. I've never been in a Church of Christ before, and it's very, very traditional. And in fact, they got some that don't even believe in instruments, and so they, everything's a cappella singing. We went to the, went to one the first time we've ever been to one, and you know what I found out? All these churches, we have far more in common than we have that separates us. We have far more
absolutely
that unites us than divides us. And if we could just set our differences aside for the, you know, for the, you know, for the purpose of prayer, for the purpose of coming together to pray for our nation, what a powerful thing that would be. And so I believe, and I've done a lot of research into this, but I believe that every major revival that has happened in our country has started with prayer from different denominations coming together. And I really do believe that. I think just like, by the way, the American Revolution, you know, the American Revolution's had the Black Robe Regiment, which was, you know, a bunch of pastors and ministers and priests. There was Catholics as well. Priests who basically picked up their guns to unite with their brothers in arms and to defend this country. And that is unity. And unity is a powerful thing. That's why we see, what is it that we always see that you know, we have a great movement that starts and everything that always stops a movement is division. It's always that. This pastor was,
okay.
I was just going to say this.
I was going to say we're all sons of Abraham, or most of us, and children of Yahweh. So if we can all get together on that common thing, a lot of the stuff, especially in the Mideast, wouldn't be happening.
Right.
But and I did want to just say, in the sense of the whistleblowers, how much truth? I mean, you know, the whistleblowers, when they especially have the computer data, this, that, or whatever, how much of it is put into drop boxes for security? Say, like a John McAfee, as you said, mentioned the Q and everything. How much of that is dealing with the reveals later on, I'm guessing, because I got to think this P. Diddy reveal has really got to knock the anchor out of the Hollywood elite and the political bigwigs to say they're going to wrap something up and say, you know what, we're just carting you all off because you're all guilty, and now we're just going to build on the Epstein evidence, this, that, or whatever, unless you know of something else that's in the works. But I just think it's a big thread going on now, and, you know, they can only contain that information for so long. And once the right intelligence people are in power, they'll reveal.
And Nate, after you answer this, we're going to take the next caller. Yep. So just want to let you know, Casey.
I'll finish this up.
Absolutely.
With this, that when it comes to grand conspiracies, and I don't call it theories because there's a lot of conspiracies that are absolutely true.
Yep.
But when it comes to grand conspiracies, my tendency is to kind of follow Occam's razor. The most simple, most easiest way to, you know, to understand something is likely, you know, the truth. And when you get into like very, very complicated things of, you know, multiple people working together, which is very hard to, you know, make happen. I think there's a lot of things that I do think that there is a power that is manipulating everything, but I think it's oftentimes it's maybe not even consciously happening with these people who are evil. They are under the influence of demonic spirits who are cooperating together. And it just, it gives the appearance of like some grand scheme of, you know, evil. But the truth is I think they're all interested in their own, you know, basically benefiting themselves. And so, so they can be defeated. But we have to get past our, you know, our own things that divide us as conservatives and as Christians. And we need to come together in unity to fight this evil. All right. Well, anyways,
I want you in Congress as the next Trey Gowdy, but with a backbone. You know, go Nate, go.
I love it. Thank you, Casey. Appreciate you, brother.
All right.
Yep. We'll see you. Yep. Bye bye. All right, next caller coming in. You guys, if you're not on the line yet, don't get on the line, because we've still got two more callers after this, and we've only got 17 minutes left. Caller, you're on the air. Can we get your name?
Yes, this is Pastor Dale from West Virginia.
Pastor Dale, welcome to the program. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good.
Excellent.
Hey, can I tell you a little bit about this guy you're interviewing tonight?
Absolutely, yes. You go for it.
He is a natural West Virginian. He never met a stranger, and he will talk your leg off.
That's been my experience. That's true.
Yeah. When he came to West Virginia, he said they found the home they were always looking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember when he told me about he and Melody buying it, how excited he was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he comes to our church. He's just like part of the family now. So, and a lot of our people have their signs up. Can I tell you a quick story about campaigning in this county?
Absolutely. Go for it.
The biggest Democrat in this county is a guy that lives at the intersection of two roads. And every year he has his whole yard full of signs for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden on down. I mean, he's a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. I went by his house here last week. I didn't see any signs for Democrats or anybody in this man's yard except for one lone sign standing there, and it was a Nate Kane sign.
Wow, you're breaking through, Nate.
I've got people in my church that are diehard Democrats, and they've got Nate Kane signs in their yard.
That's beautiful. I love hearing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and he and Nate has, if I'll tell you this, if retail politics wins elections, if traveling and meeting people and shaking their hands and talking to them and listening to them and going out in the middle of places like Oxford, West Virginia, if you had a map and on that map there was a zone that had nowhere, Oxford, West Virginia would be in the middle of nowhere. And Nate was down there at the Grange Hall talking to 70 people that showed up. And he is going out and pressing the flesh and doing everything that they say politicians ought to do. And I'll tell you something else about Nate. He's a man of great faith. We've talked about this. And, you know, I've prayed for, you know, righteous, God-fearing, spirit-filled, wise Christian men and women who will lead this nation the way that she should go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nate is one of those people. And he's already been in the belly of the beast. You know, his home's raided by the FBI. They tried to poison him twice. He lived to tell the tale.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is fighting for the people of the United States, and especially here in West Virginia. He's taken several state issues under his wing as he's campaigned along. He's been involved in water issues. He's been involved in mineral rights issues. He's been involved in the steel mill issue in Weirton, West Virginia. He's been involved with the windmill situation in a place east from here. So he has just gotten involved. He's been on the ground, and he has a great heart for the people of West Virginia. And I think it. Everybody that meets him and hears about him, I think it shows. So anyhow, that's my plug for Nate. And I appreciate you having him on your show, and you will not find a better man.
Well, I have to agree with you, Pastor. That's great.
I'll pay you that money a little later.
I'm going to raise my price.
Dale is an amazing pastor. I am not exaggerating when I tell you, like, the best sermons that I've heard. And he's a Church of Christ pastor. And we were talking about this the other day. He was telling me about how that was the fastest growing church in America for a while there. One, they were unified. And when, you know, and this happens with every church, by the way, when there's unity, things grow. But when they start dividing over silly things, and then next thing you know, it stops growing.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true with patriotism in America.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're independent Christian church. We have a piano, but we're of the same lineage.
Same lineage,
as
right.
The Church of Christ. Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful.
But, Nate's part of the family. When he comes around, it's just like, oh, there's Nate again.
Yeah. And he's got a wonderful church body there. Yeah, we love him.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for calling in tonight. I really appreciate it. And that was a glowing and beautiful recommendation.
Well, it's heartfelt and sincere, and, God willing, we'll get Nate in office and a bunch of other people like him, and it will be, hopefully, God willing, be on a better path.
Well, I think that's exactly the direction we're heading into. It's, I mean, the fact that a lifelong Democrat is posting up a sign for Nate Kane, I mean, this is a sign of the times. It's really unfortunate what's happened in America, but on the other side of the coin, it's probably the best thing that could have happened for this country because it's shown the American people what doesn't work and what we cannot afford to continue to do. We have to move in one direction, and it's the exact opposite direction of what this nation is facing at this moment. And the only way to do that is to elect people like Nate Kane to bring back President Trump and to ensure that the next generation of American political leaders are truly American patriots, men and women of God, people who are going to make the right decisions for the right reasons and who are not going to step into Washington, D.C. simply for their own ego or for their own self-gratification.
Yeah, it's high time we have a whole group of people like that.
Yep. More than high time. All right, well, Pastor, thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling in.
All right, you're welcome. Hey, God bless you. I'll talk to you later, Nate. Yep.
God bless.
Yep. God bless.
We'll see ya. Oh, great. That's great. I hope we have somebody else from West Virginia calling in. We got two more callers left. Caller, you're on the air. Make sure you mute that stream, and can we get your name?
Yes, this is Deb, a.k.a. Space Coast Patriot.
Space Coast Patriot. Good to hear from you. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I just want to say, hi, Zach. Hi, Nate. And I really loved getting to meet you back in September.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was beautiful. Good stuff. I'm hoping that you're going to get a chance to come to another GART. Actually, I mean, I hope we do another GART down here in Florida because it's easier for me. But
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
I hate the launch didn't happen, but that's okay.
Yeah. No worries. Well, listen, do you got any questions for Nate?
Well, I don't really have any questions. I just want to say I love what he's doing. I've watched him on a lot of different programs, you know, a lot of different podcasts, and I love it, you know. And I do want to tell you, if you go on True Social, you will find that, I was trying to tell you about Don Jr. about Boeing.
I actually pulled it up while we were talking earlier, and I did show it up. Yeah, I saw it. He said, Boeing out here whacking people with absolute impunity. Yeah. Crooked Hillary level stuff.
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah, he ain't wrong.
Cool. That was too cool. Well, I had to shut down Pill.net on my phone to be able to call in, but I'm watching you on Rumble on the TV.
All right, good stuff.
Love you guys.
Love you,
too. I think what you're doing is great.
Yep, and God bless.
We'll see you soon.
All right. Have a great night. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon. Peace. All right. We've got one more caller. Let's bring him in. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead and mute your stream. And can we get your name?
This is Campy Stabby.
Campy Stabby, the man himself.
What's going on, brother?
Not much. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man.
So
right on.
Tell me what it's like to see your brother on the verge of joining the U.S. House of Representatives.
Pretty awesome. It's kind of cool because I am a union worker, and in the past I've seen a lot of D's out there, but I'm actually kind of surprised. I've been I get to share what my brother's done, and I actually have been trying to unify the guys, and I actually even shared how my brother's even, been going to some union meetings and trying to bring a work back to West Virginia. And so for me, it's pretty awesome because it gives me a good platform to kind of try to bring that bond back to, we the people.
That's great.
Yeah.
What's the sentiment like in your union? I mean, I normally it's like the rule is that the union votes Democrat. But there's a lot of unions this time around that are, foregoing that radical left agenda and openly supporting President Trump.
Yeah, I will say specifically on the job I'm on right now, it's, I would say, a good 80% Trump.
That's good.
So I've talked to the carpenters, the iron workers. I even have a couple Christians on the job. So, it's pretty cool. So And I tell him, yeah, my brother's running for Congress right now, and it's pretty exciting. And I tell him the stuff that he's done. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, by the time we get to November, you know, I say this like almost every day, but I mean, things are bad now. They're going to get worse by the time we get to November. And, you know, as unfortunate as that is, it's pushing people away from that left agenda, and it's pushing them towards Donald Trump because, you know, hindsight is 2020. People always know what to do when they're looking behind them. And, you know, it's quite clear that whatever happened in 2020, you know, obviously Joe Biden, you know, I look at him as an illegitimate leader. You know, he's a puppet. He was placed in that position. He was essentially anointed as president of the United States. And everything that is happening in America right now is due not only to that decision or that, you know, that action that was foisted upon the American people. But, you know, it's a larger extension of that radical left agenda that we've seen building up in America over these last many decades. And Joe Biden was kind of like the culmination of it. It was like for the people who couldn't see it before, like that was what it took to rip the scales from their eyes. And now they're like, you know, hey, if we're going to turn this around, if we're going to do something different, then it's going to have to take us going back to the one man that we've seen actually fighting for us. And that's Donald Trump. And if we want to see that replicated on a grander scale, we got to put other people into office who have that exact same type of temperament, that same sort of belief in the possibilities that America has, uncorking the bottle, I guess, you know, and ensuring that we release the true potential of what America is and what it was and bringing that back to play.
You know, on that note of potential, that's one of the things about West Virginia that it really strikes me, like the amount of just resources, wealth that we have in this state that is just untapped.
Yes.
I mean, if we actually just, you know, basically if we gave the Obama administration, for that matter, you know, said to them, hey, we don't want your money. We don't want your rules. We don't want your, you know, whatever we're not going to do things by your way of doing things anymore. We're going to determine our own future.
Mm-hmm.
I literally believe we would be the wealthiest state in the union. And, but we're not building, you know, we're not repairing our roads. We're not building new power plants. We're not building new refineries. We're not building fertilizer plants. We should be doing all that here because we
absolutely
have everything needed for it. And it would create jobs. It would drive people to move here. We should be paying no income tax because the money that we could be making off of all the products that we'd be creating here would be more than enough, you know, to do things like fix our roads, which are horrible. Like West Virginia has the worst roads I've ever seen anywhere. And it's because a lot of the heavy trucks and stuff like that are moving stuff, and they use salt on the roads in the winter and all of that. And they used to use the fly ash, and you know, from the coal plants.
Mm-hmm.
But since they shut all the coal plants down, now they've turned to salt, and it's just destroying the roads. So we have potential to do great things in the state, but we just have to untap, you know, unleash that power. And it means that, you know, and that's more of an issue at the state level, but you better believe I'm going to be, Lord willing, if I get in there, I'm going to be working with our state legislature as much as I possibly can to push them in the direction of freeing us from the grasp of the federal government. Yeah. I'll be doing everything I can to eliminate regulations at the federal level that don't belong there. In fact, defunding, you know, several of these agencies, that's the one power that Congress has that they don't seem to be willing to use. And I think it's because many of them are compromised.
Absolutely.
They absolutely need, you know, to defund half of these federal agencies that really are doing things outside of what the Constitution says that the federal government should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're standing on the precipice of a grand new age for America. And I'm hoping that there's going to be a redistribution of that power structure that, you know, traditionally it's been, you know, federalism. The federal government has ultimate authority over the states, and then the states have the authority over the cities. I think that the states need to take back that power from the federal government and take their own destiny into their hands so that they can empower their people bring back that economic development to the states, you know, capitalize on all of those resources that you mentioned, and to, you know, stop funding those agencies that are really only there to subjugate us. And, you know, West Virginia could be one of the wealthiest states in this nation, and the people of West Virginia could be thriving. But instead, they have basically starved those people out. Yeah. You know, they've got people living in the mountains, you know, living off of welfare because they have taken away every possible means of them supporting themselves. And, you know, you get out there into the middle of nowhere and there's no economic potential because they've taken all of those different means away from them. And, you know, at that point, you know, what do people do? You know, I mean, the government wants people to be dependent on them to just have enough to survive, just to barely get along. And that way they look to the federal government as the ultimate arbiter of everything, like the, you know, the mother of the nation, right? Lady Liberty, you know, holding her teat out to make sure that you can survive every single day. But they have the power to survive on their own and to thrive in a way that I think people just don't think is even possible anymore. We can bring that back.
Absolutely. And all that's needed is a little bit of inspiration.
Yep.
Some leadership and the removal of half of these regulations that make it so hard for people to start, you know, companies and become entrepreneurs. I mean, the tax burden on small business is just so ridiculous. And it really, that it, I know firsthand because I have my own small business. That's another thing too. Like, I think you should have to run a small business before you should be able to, you know, run for Congress. You know, you should have to have had experience running a small business and seeing what the tax burden is like for the people actually providing the majority of the jobs in America. You know, I think that would be a good qualification. You don't ever hear really people talk about it much, but it is a qualification.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the problem is because these people have no idea how to balance a checkbook, they get to Congress and they think that there's just unlimited money. Oh, it's okay. The Fed's going to print it and we don't have to pay it back. We're just going to put it on the backs of our children.
And the same is true for, like, you know, military service. When you served in the military and especially, you know, even if you haven't seen combat, like I never saw combat, you know, in the Army. But I've met plenty of people who have been in combat, and I've seen how many of them are screwed up in the head, you know, after seeing all of their buddies die and they're the only ones alive and things like that. That makes me a much more, you know, reticent to just send us into war, send our country into war. I'm much more, you know, going to look at things like how can we avoid war at all costs? And then if it becomes necessary to defend ourselves, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't see the point of spilling our blood, our treasure, you know, on some other country that's not a, you know, we don't have an alliance with, we don't have a treaty with. Why would we do that? Why would we borrow money to give money to the Ukraine? You know, it makes no sense.
No.
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
And it kind of ties into two events that recently happened. So today I was driving and I was flying my Betsy Ross flag on my truck. And some guy, he's ahead of me and he honks. And he starts waving his hand out the window. And I'm like, what's this guy doing? And then he takes his hat off and starts waving his hat out. And I'm still not figuring out what's going on. And then I'm looking closer and I realize his hat was a Mexican hat. And so I'm like, what's this guy's deal? You know, so I'm like, I'm throwing my hands up there. I'm like, dude, I don't care. I don't care what your hat is, you know? And then he starts yelling out the window at me. And so finally I just yelled back and I said, look, if Mexico is so great, why don't you just go back? And for me, I have no problem with any race here. You know, that I think the thing that frustrated me the most is he missed the point.
Mm-hmm.
And so time to I am a scoutmaster. What's interesting is my boys, they're other than my son, they're all Chinese except for one of them is I think he's Korean. But anyway, so I was sharing with them and I just had this curiosity and I just told him, I was like, hey, so what happens if I were to go and live in China for 20 years? Would I be considered Chinese? And they all started laughing, and they're like, no. And I said, okay, well, what if my wife and I, we moved there, and then we had a kid there, would our kid be considered Chinese? And they still laughed, and they said, no. And I said, well, what is Chinese? And they said, you have to look Chinese. Mm. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. And but to be honest, I have no problem with that because, you know, it's like I told him, I said, when I go to China, I want to see Chinese things. I want to see, you know, triangle looking hats, maybe. Or I don't know, whatever hats they wear. Maybe that's Vietnamese. I don't know. But anyways, I want to see, like, you know, Chinese food. I want to see the Great Wall of China. Those warriors. Anyways.
The signs of Chinese culture.
Yes. Yeah, I want to see the same thing in Africa. I want to see the same thing in Mexico and all that stuff. But when you talk about America, it's like, what is our identity? What is the thing that people want to see in America? And that is freedom.
Exactly.
Freedom is what people want to see here. And that's why so many people move here. And so
God,
I guess
guns
going
and
back
baby.
That's right. Yeah. So the question I have is, I can only assume that this guy was probably an illegal. I could be wrong, but, you know, since he's, you know, clenching onto his flag so, you know, so tightly and waving it out at me, not claiming the American flag, which has it can pertain to anyone that comes here with that same ideology and takes on that American pride. But I guess the question I have is, do you, and I don't know if this is something you can disclose or whatever, but do you have any idea as far as how much illegal immigration is going to affect our voter rolls? Because I know Biden had a lot of you know, dead voters, so I was just curious what you know, how the illegal impact will affect our voter rolls.
Well, it certainly is going to have an impact in places like California. Unfortunately, they allow illegals to get driver's licenses, and of course, you can register to vote right when you get your driver's license. And the only thing they do is they make you just basically make an attestation. And I think there's some recent court cases where, you know, how can they, this is aiding and abetting by the state government.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some people talking about suing California because the state is actually aiding and abetting. I grew up in California, and which is where my brother still lives, unfortunately. And, you know, it is a beautiful state. I would say that I love the geography, and I love the weather. I do love warm weather. I don't really care for cold weather, but it has just become so untenable and unmanageable, I think, as a state. And in fact, when my wife and I were living there, for a brief period of time, after I think around, 2004 to 2007, we had went back there to live for a little bit, and I was working there. We were getting notices in the mail for people from the Mexican government offering us books and textbooks in Spanish. So they had such an issue, like they don't, you know, they just know half of the people there are illegal. The real issue with election security, it is a local issue. It's not a federal one. So the state legislature has to fix it. And the problem with California state legislature is it's more corrupt than anything. I mean, it's like the most ridiculous. They have committees that they have where they, you know, they basically place their friends on these committees that, you know, pay like $300,000 a year, and they only got to attend like a couple meetings. I mean, stupid crap like that. You know, like the garbage committee. I mean, just seriously, it is so corrupt. So there's a lot of problems in California. And their elections, and their voter rolls, that is where the problem is, by the way, for everywhere. Voter registration and your voter rolls is really the issue that nobody's talking about, at least nobody that has the power to do anything about it. And that is where the problem is. That's where Konik, you know, touches the voter registration through an API. And there's plenty of other companies that have third-party software that can, you know, connect to the election systems through an API, a backdoor. And so it is a real threat. We don't have a massive number of illegals here in West Virginia, but the problem with the border being so porous is the issue that we're suffering here is fentanyl. Fentanyl is the leading cause of death right now between 18 and 45 year olds. Leading cause of death. Killed over 100,000 Americans last year. And that's more than basically, I think we lost 50,000 in 3 years in Vietnam, versus, you know, over 100,000 in 1 year. And we're not even talking about, you know, guys fighting with guns and bullets and stuff like that. We're talking about, you know, some kid picks up a drug, takes it and dies. So we've got to do something about immigration. It is a problem. And, you know, and I have thought long and hard about it. We've got to think more like the Democrats in terms of how to get stuff passed. And the best way I think to do that is you start with things that everybody can agree on and that it would be very difficult to defend not agreeing with. Like, let's get rid of all of the rapists, murderers, child predators that are here illegally. When those guys get caught and they do their time, they should be immediately deported and put on a watch list. And if they ever come back into this country again, they're immediately sent to life in prison. That would be, to me, something that it'd be very hard for a Democrat to defend themselves against, to say no to that. And then you do what the Democrats do. You move the goalposts. You say, okay, now that we got that going, let's work on the next thing, which is, what about all these illegals that are here on welfare? Why in the world should anybody who's here illegally, how is it that they're able to even get benefits? So we should take all benefits away from them, period. They should not get any benefits from the government at all. And when I say no benefits, I'm talking not even a free ambulance ride, nothing. They should not be able to get any benefits. So you take that away. And again, they never paid into the system, so they should not get those benefits. Then the last thing is you deal with the people who are here illegally that are not necessarily causing problems in our day-to-day life. You know, maybe they came here because Biden said it was okay, or maybe they came here because, you know, they had an opportunity a long time ago and they stayed over their visa or whatever. But they're productive members of society. They're just not here legally. And what we have to do for those people, I think, you know, and I've heard people, I have one of my opponents that says, well, we just need to create a massive, deportation, task force and round them all up. Well, how are you going to identify them, first of all? Because are you going to violate the Constitution's Fourth Amendment and start, you know, stopping people and, you know, asking them, where's your papers and all that? I don't want to live in a world like that. I don't want to live, you know, with the Nazis, you know, going around saying, show me your papers. No, we have to think this through. So the best way to do it is we need to create an opportunity for them to come clean and to make things right. And the best way that we can do that is we say, all right, look, we're, you know, use the carrot and the stick approach. You say, we're going to say, hey, you've got 1 year, you know, and maybe it needs to be longer. I mean, you can have a group of people come up with something. This could be a negotiating part, but you got a period of time where you have to come forward, you have to register, and then you have to create an exit plan. And you're going to basically exit the country, go to a port of entry. And as long as you've registered and you've done everything you're supposed to do, we will allow you to skip ahead on the line, but you're not going to get rewarded. You're going to have to do community service. You know, it's going to have to be, you're going to pay for your punishment. And then the amount of time for you to be able to, and that will help you to be able to get a green card, so that you can work here legally. But, what's going to happen is, you're not going to be able to get your, you know, like, let's say it's 5 years before you can apply for citizenship. It's going to be 10 years. If you go through that program, because why would we benefit you and hurt the person who's been waiting in line? Mm-hmm. So to me, we've got to come up with a make sense solution that can get enough people in the moderates on board that they would support it. But you've got to move the goalpost towards that goal and start with the thing that they cannot defend themselves. Because if you get them to say, oh, I'm opposed to getting rid of murderers, rapists and child predators, well, then they're going to lose their next election. And so you got the Democrats are really good at this. You know, look at how they got gay marriage passed, right? Everybody universally was against that, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I mean, you had California twice. They you know, they were able to you know, pass a statewide constitutional amendment to make it illegal. And yet, look where we are today. You got, you know, people claiming that, did you hear the latest thing in the LGBTQ movement? Now you've got people that are claiming, I saw this in the news, they said that they can claim a season as their gender. I mean, what? This is, yeah. So I'm summer. I'm summer, because, you know, what are they going to say? Because I'm always hot? I don't know. You know, I don't get it. You know, but it's just, it's crazy, you know? It makes no sense at all. And we're totally lost all common sense. And so I think we've got to figure out how to get things moving in the right direction. It takes cultural change. Cultural change doesn't happen overnight. We need to take control of the, you know, the means of communicating to people and getting, you know, right now, you know, the great thing is that social media, there's a lot of bad things about it, but one of the good things about it, it has created a new open market.
That's right.
And so, now, you know, cable TV is dying, you know, it's dying. I don't watch it. Everything I watch, it's, you know, I'll watch movies still, you know, on TV, but I certainly don't watch the news on TV. Heck no. I get my news from social media. That's more accurate, and I get more variety and more opportunity to kind of look for what I'm wanting to find out about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think, you know, we have to do a better job of making our positions appealing, you know, to people and educating people and moving, you know, moving the mindset of people in the right direction. And you don't get that by you know, just rhetoric alone, right? You know, or and that's part of the problem, is I think there's a lot of, like, a lot of shouting, a lot of yelling, a lot of you know, pushing ideas and that, but they're not articulated well as to why we should do it. They're just, it's more dogmatic, right? It's kind of like, you know, religion, you know, why do you believe in it? Because I'm a Republican, you know? Well, no, it's not just because I'm a Republican. Why do I believe in small government? Because I can look at history and I can see that every time that power was centralized and kept away from the people, you know, kept, you know, centralized in another location, the people back home suffer. And so when power is closer to home, it gives people the opportunity to get rid of corrupt leaders and gets them the opportunity to hold their leaders accountable. And so we've got, you know, we've got real problems that need to be solved. And, I hope and I pray that I don't fall into the, I realize sometimes you got to make a lot of noise and you got to make a scene, but I hope I don't ever fall into the, I'm just going to make a lot of noise just for the sake of making myself look good to my constituents. No, I want to actually accomplish things. And I recognize that that's never going to happen without God's help. Our founders understood that. They believed that in what's called providence. And I'll give you an example of providence. Something completely random in this election is your position on the ballot. Okay. So I prayed. I said, Lord, I need every advantage I can get. Can you please help me out with this? Because it was all randomized how they were picking who, you know, has, you know, first position on the ballot. Because the fact is that many people go to the polls and they don't know anything about the candidates that are like, you know, they know who their governor, they were voting for governor, and they know who they're voting for, you know, for president. Maybe they just go there and all they care about is Trump and they don't care about any other races. Then they'll just go down the line on the Republican primary and they'll just pick the top one on all the way down. So getting first position, it's a very helpful thing because you get all of those uneducated voters, typically will vote for you. And there's a couple of things that have happened that have been kind of extremely advantageous that are just like, there's no other explanation other than God. One of them is that I got the most top of the ticket picks out of all of the candidates. Wow. I got eight out of 27. Riley Moore got 7 out of 27. And then the next one down was like 4 and then like 3. Now, the next thing that happened that's been advantageous to me is as I've been traveling the 27 districts or 27 counties, I have ran into But Kane, somebody with the same spelling of my last name in almost every county I have gone to.
Oh, that's great.
In fact, in almost every church that I have gone to, it was weird. Like, we had these three Sundays in a row where we sat in a row with some Canes spelled the same way. And I talked to these people, and I thought to myself, I told my wife, I said, this is weird. I have never met another Kane in my life. My Canes come from South Carolina. How is it there's all these Canes here? So I went and I Googled it, and they had a heat map for last name, surname, Kane, and where people live. You know, out of all the places that we could have moved to, West Virginia has the highest number of Canes per capita by a long shot.
Wow.
The next state. Like, there are more Canes here. Like, it's red. The state of West Virginia is red. And then everywhere else, it skips over orange, it skips over yellow, and there's only, like, green, light green and dark green, and then blue, which, you know, the colder you get, is the less of your arm. So how did I end up at a state where, you know, my last name is actually pretty common and known by people? That's important.
That is important.
So all these little things that God has, you know, had a hand in, I believe, which lead me to believe that, you know, that at least the potential is there. That even though I'm outspent 8-1, I think the potential is there, you know, for me to win this. I really do.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, can't be stabby. We are over time, brother. So we've got to take it. We've got to close out the show. So you got any final words for your brother?
No, pretty much. Just I love you guys. You know, Red Pill, you are one of my favorites, and I look at you as a brother just as much as my other brother.
Likewise.
Anyways, and I love you, bro. I look forward to seeing you when you win. So
I look forward to
I'll be heading out there. So yeah,
I look forward to seeing you at the victory party.
Yes,
sounds good. Sounds good.
All right, brother. Thank you so much for calling, man.
Yep, you guys have a good night.
All right, you too. We'll see you. Bye-bye. God bless. All right, final thank yous over here on Pilled and Rumble. Thank you to Sean Joe for 1, 2, 3 cookies. Thank you to Raisin Cane for 1 cookie. Sean Joe for 2 cookies. And then also over here on Rumble, Keith O'Higgins says, I wish I could go back in time and register or trademark BLM as Black Lung Matters. That's appropriate for West Virginia, I guess. West Virginia humor. Keith O'Higgins also says, new BLM is Biden Loves Minors and Mohap. That's a good one. I would put that on a t-shirt. And then Keith O'Higgins says, if I identify as an Indian summer, do I get casino rights? And I think it's a valid question in today's world. Right. All right. Well, Nate, we are about 20 minutes over. So do you have any final brief words for the audience before we take off?
Yes. Yesterday was the National Day of Prayer. And we got to remember, you know, where does our help come from? You know, I hope that I can be of use. I hope that with God's grace, I will be. But I recognize that there are so many things that are out of our control that we're going to need help. And so I would just want to encourage people, please pray. Pray for this election. Pray for your own cities. Pray for other cities. Pray for your state. Pray for our country. And I believe that if enough of us raise up our voices to God and we ask God to turn our country around, he will. Because his word promises us that. And I guess the final thing I'll say is that, you know, if you want to find out more about my campaign, you can go to NateCainForWV.com or just NateCain.win. And it's Cain spelled C-A-I-N, just like Cain and Abel, no relation. But NateCain.win or NateCainForWV.com. You can go there. All of the shows that I do, and I've done hundreds of them, they're all on there under the media section. You can find out where I've done like very long interviews on like the details of my whistleblowing, some of the more recent whistleblowing with the Chinese infiltration stuff. And if you feel compelled or you feel led by the Lord to donate to my campaign, I would greatly appreciate it. We're in the final 3 weeks. And I'm out of signs, and it costs, every time I order signs, it's about $1,800, to get like 500 of them. So, you know, it's not cheap, So I could definitely use a little bit of help there. If any of you guys can help donate to that, I would greatly appreciate it so I can go get some more signs to put out, because unfortunately my signs keep getting stolen. And so it's quite a problem. I mean, like, there's towns where we've gone into that we were just there 2 weeks ago and we put, like, you know, 12 signs and they're all gone, every single one of them. And interestingly enough, one of my opponent's signs are almost in the exact holes that mine were taken out of.
Wow.
But I had some people who confronted him about it and he denied it, of course, but,
dirtbag.
Yeah. So it is, unfortunately, this is the kind of things that, you know, games people play, but I do need to get signs out there and, just to, you know, let people know, you know, that I am a contender in this race. Some great things are happening. I feel really good about this election. I heard some things that even, you know, that, I guess some insiders that have told me some things on some internal polling, that sounds very, you know, very positive. Basically, I think this race is really, it's a two-man race between me and Riley Moore at this point. And, you know, but really at the end of the day, it's in God's hands. Listen, there was a poll that came out that said that 60% of the people polled were undecided. That means everybody could walk into the booth on election day and the Lord could whisper in their ear, vote for Nate Kane. And they could decide to vote for me.
Mm-hmm.
For no other reason than they just had this feeling like they should vote for this guy named Nate Kane. So, you know, I put my trust in God, and no matter what happens in this election, I am going to be, you know, serving West Virginia from this day forward. And I really, you know, I've fallen in love with the people here, with the state. I have a lot of hope and vision for this state, and I want to see God do great things here. So thank you guys all for coming on. It was amazing turnout tonight. Was that, say, 2,000 on
yeah, Rumble? There was even more here before, but man, people start dropping off after 11.
Yeah, so I appreciate it. And, you know, thank you for even letting it go over a little bit, and I don't mind. Especially when my brother's on, comes online. That's awesome.
Me either, for sure. Nate, it's always a pleasure to have you. I really do appreciate it. You guys, before we leave tonight, I just got to remind you about the final sponsors of tonight's show, starting with my friends at Oneness Drops, where you can go to the link in the description below and pick up your chlorine dioxide water purification kits, onenessdrops.com. And when you use code RP78, hold on, let me just verify the actual code here. I got to get it pulled up. Let me see. That is RP78, and I think that's it. Yes, and you'll get a 15% discount at onenessdrops.com when you purchase the chlorine dioxide water purification kits. This allows you to make non-potable water, undrinkable, unclean water, totally safe to drink. It is antimicrobial, antibacterial, and antiviral. And you can use chlorine dioxide for a lot of different things. If you know anything about chemistry, then you know that chlorine dioxide is not bleach. It's something totally different. And no matter what the New York Times will tell you. So definitely check it out. You can find a lot of great information about chlorine dioxide online. It's good for a lot of things. I actually use it in my dog's water because it kills the bacteria and it keeps their teeth healthy. And it also stops their breath from stinking. My dog's veterinarian was like, what are you doing for your dog's oral health? And I told him, and he was like, wow, that's great. He wrote it down, and he started doing it for his own dogs. So onenessdrops.com. Also to my friend Mike Lindell at mypillow.com, where you can also use code RP78 to save up to 80% off of every single thing Mike offers. At MyPillow.com, you've got stuff for your bedroom, stuff for your bathroom. They even have, like, vitamins and stuff now. MyPillow 2.0, the Giza Dream Sheets. They've even got mattress toppers and mattresses and stuff. So give them a shout-out and let them know that you heard about them on my show. You'll save a ton of money, and obviously you're going to support Mike's efforts to secure the election system here in America. And then finally, at My Patriot Supply, go to preparewithredpill78.com. Right now you can save $50 off a 4-week supply of emergency food. This is like their best offer, I think, that they've had in a long time. You can easily try this, see if it's going to work for you, but this is not food that you're going to want to eat right now. You want to go ahead and try it, that's fine, but you need to have this stuff on hand, because if anything does go wrong, let's say there is some, you know, nationwide shutdown or a problem with the grid or the supply chains just stop working and you need to be able to feed your family. Obviously, I know you guys got guns, lead, gold and silver, and clean water if you've got the chlorine dioxide, but you also got to have food to feed your family. So definitely hit up PrepareWithRedPill78.com. And when you support all of these sponsors, you are supporting my program. Thank you to everybody who has supported the show tonight. Thank you to anybody who is supporting Nate and his endeavor to save both West Virginia and America. Nate, I love you. God bless you. Tomorrow night at 9 p.m., I'll be back here with a special guest, a journalist from Mexico. His name is Jaime Masson. If you know anything about Jaime Masson, he's kind of the George Knapp of Mexico. George Knapp is like the preeminent reporter from Las Vegas. He's been speaking about Area 51 for decades at this point. Jaime Masson has been covering a fascinating story coming out of Peru. There were a series of mummified bodies that were found in a cave there. And there is some really compelling evidence coming out of there. People automatically say that they're aliens, but, you know, it could be something totally different. I don't know. Who's to say what's existed on this planet? It's probably been here for a lot longer than we know. So I'm really excited to talk to Jaime tomorrow. He'll be here at 9. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us in the chat. No matter which platform you're on, make sure you hit the like button before you go. Hit the red pill. Good luck. God bless. I'll see you tomorrow.